wake up, it's Saturday morning, and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Philip Murph, CEO of Lion Services, in the house, and Bruce Zaidman of American Wood Reface for hours 2 and 3. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Good morning. Nice, cloudy. It's moving into autumn. You can feel it. You can feel it this week, no doubt. Humidity's lower. Temps are lower. Yesterday, a little humid, but because I worked a little bit and I sweated. You can always tell. Wasn't that hot this week. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you all had a great week. Life's a little crazy now in the political world, and I'm not going there, so don't worry about that. Life's crazy enough, and then when you blend in the saga behind all the big soap opera of our lives, that's what I'm beginning to call it, because it seems that way. I just soon leave it on TV and walk away from it, but that's just another part. Anyway, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to About Your House, Saturday version. I've got a guy. Our first guest this morning, we got a great show, I think, and let me give you a rundown on it. I got Philip Murph here. He's the CEO and the head of the big club called Lion Services, and we're going to learn all about that. And some people out there know about it, but we're going to talk about it in depth. And Philip says, what on earth do I have to say for an hour and a half? And he brings his wife with him. And Tiffany, Miss Tiffany, good morning to both of you, and thank you for coming.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
And Tiffany says, oh, I can't be on the radio. I says, well, you don't have a choice. But anyway, it's great to be alive and breathing and all that kind of good stuff. And later on in the show today, Bruce Zaidman, an old friend of mine. I've known Bruce. We go way back in the remodeling and home improvement industry. And he's been in Charlotte quite a bit. He American Wood Reface, and he has done siding, he has done windows, he has done gutters, you name it. Bruce has kind of been into it and started out as a clothes salesman. But we'll hear his story as well. But Philip Murph's in the house, and we're going to talk about him. He was scheduled to be on the show some time back, but I had the wrong phone number in my contacts, and I sent somebody a text. I have no idea who got it, but I thought he got it, when in fact he didn't get it, and he didn't show up. He says, well, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, because you didn't send me nothing. And he's right. I didn't. Sent somebody else. But now we hooked back up and connected and got back together here, and I'll start with saying Lion Services. I don't, honestly, I wish I could see everything and do everything there is to know about Charlotte. But Line Services has been here, and we're going to hear his story and what they do and how they do it. But I met him at the Equilibrium Awards by WFAE sometime back, I don't know, a month or so ago. And we met and talked, and Dana and yourself were there, and we started chatting about Line Services and what they did and all. And a lot of us here in Charlotte are familiar with it, indirectly or directly, because of their existence and what they do in our community. And they invited me over one day, one morning, and I went over there, and Dana gave me a tour, and I was blown away. Somewhat emotional, because what I saw was absolutely incredible. And it goes right with my theory about humanity. And we were just talking about that before the show with Tiffany here. God put us all, every one of us on this planet, to serve and have purpose. And in doing so, it creates and empowers all of us to be better human beings to each other. But we don't use that concept much. We don't teach it in our schools. We don't, the morality, the work ethic, and I'm not trying to be negative and down and out, but it's a fact. And these facts are kind of hard to take a little bit sometimes. But here you go into a building, and I'll let Philip tell you the facts and the data, because he knows it, because he's lived it. He lives it because of his disability and what he's done about it in his life. And, you know, his wife, Tiffany, said he needs to slow down. And I don't know how anybody in a business, serving business, can slow down in this day and time, this era, because it's so demanding. On you're just chasing things all the time. Technology's got its benefits, but it's also got its drawbacks. There's just way too much information, way too much information for all of us to comprehend on a daily basis, and I call that the psyop of the matrix. You know, it's because we're too damn busy. And we really are. But enough said about that right now. Good morning, Philip. Talk to me, brother.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Now, you said we didn't have much to talk about. We're going to start with, where's Philip from?
Well, Ray, I'm from Concord, North Carolina. My two parents met in high school. I was born 46 years ago, and I was actually born blind. So as I got older, 6 months, they done several surgeries on me. My eyes got better. So my eyes are fine, Ray. The problem with me is it's called optic nerve hypoplasia. Try to spell that for me.
I could in a minute, but we don't have that kind of time. I figured that one out, hyperplasia. You spell it just like you say it, but go ahead.
So what that means is the optic nerve from the back of the eye to your brain is about the size of a pinky finger. It never fully matured. And so that's my problem, is communication from my eye to my brain.
Gotcha. The pathway's a little messed up.
That's right. So I put my first pair of glasses on at 6 months old, and my mom said she took 2 days off work because she thought I was going to take them off. She said I never touched them because it, pun intended here, it opened my eyes to the world. I was able to see for the first time.
Frightened you a little bit. Of course, you can't remember back that far, maybe.
That's right. But so as I got older, I went through the public school system, and I did not want to go to the blind school here in North Carolina called Governor Moorhead School. Mm-hmm. I wanted to force myself to be a part of society. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is being young, you didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be different. I want to be like everyone else. So I had go-karts and motorcycles and shotguns, and I was just a normal guy.
So you can see, but not fully.
That's right.
I mean, you know, is that what, I mean, like you're looking at me right now, what do you see of me, if I might ask? Because we take our eyesight so much for granted, well, and we really do.
Well, you want to know the truth, is kind of like an ugly guy right here in front
That's
of
me. That's fine. That works. I can dig it.
But no.
I've been called worse. It's okay.
So let me explain it to you. So
I get it.
My vision is 20 over 200.
Okay.
So what that means is a sighted person that has 20/20 vision, What I see at 20 feet, they can see at 200 feet.
Gotcha.
So in perspective, all I really see is the big E on the wall. That's okay. All I see. All right. So I can't drive. I use a magnifier to do small print reading in my office. I have.
But you can read.
I can read.
Okay.
So I went to school.
And you don't do Braille much.
I do no Braille.
Okay, no Braille.
I never learned Braille. I went to school, went to Belmont Abbey College, and I've done a lot of that through audiobooks, where they read it to me on audiobooks.
So you're 46?
I'm 46 years old.
How old are you, Tiffany?
I'm 45.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I went to, through Belmont Abbey and got a computer degree, because back in the 90s, computers was the way to go.
Just coming on board.
That was the way to go.
I started learning in 1990.
Yep. And so that's what I wanted to do with my life was computers, because at that time you could be in computers and make $1 million in about 2 days and be ready to go.
Yeah, things changed, don't it?
It sure did.
But okay, so you got into computers and started working.
No.
Out of college.
Well, we would hope.
Step up a little closer to the mic.
We would hope. So back in 97, Tiffy and I met the second day of college.
I was going to go there a little later. How'd y'all meet? And you're a homie too, aren't you? Homie meanings your hometown person.
I'm actually from Kinston, North Carolina.
Same thing. Just
yeah, but I am a North Carolina.
Right out of Raleigh, right?
Yep, on the other side of Raleigh.
Yep, got it. That's where my mother had her heart attack at the age of 40. But anyway, that's how I know Kinston. We all had to get in the cars and go see Mom. She lived 40 more years. She was okay. But keep talking. So y'all met the second day of college?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we met the second day of college. Someone in the room didn't want to be boyfriend and girlfriend, so we just wanted to be friends. So that lasted about a year, and so we dated for 3 years. And so during our senior year of college, we were doing senior thesis and senior projects and trying to plan a wedding, trying to find a job, and that was very hard. So doing, you know, three and four things at a time. So if you look back, my life really started doing three and four things at a time. That's never stopped.
Multitasking.
That's right.
That's the way it is.
That's right. And so she and I would go on interviews, and Tiffany would take me, and I would go to, I applied to 208 companies here in Charlotte. 208 companies I applied for, went to numerous interviews. And some of the large corporations would say, Philip, what kind of issues do you have? And I tell them I'm legally blind. And the interview would actually suddenly stop and say, we just hired that guy right there. Oh, you can't see him. His name is Bill. And so I would get up and walk out because they would not even give me an opportunity. And so this is in June of 2001. I had saved up money for us to start our life together. We got married. We were paying rent. And it's come to September of 2001. And I was out of money. I didn't have the money to pay the next in October rent. My mother-in-law said, have you contacted Lyons Industries? And I said, well, I've never heard of them. And Lyons Industries is a corporation in Kinston. So I've done a research.
Can I stop there a minute?
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your research now, but Lyons Industry started up in Kinston?
Well, yes and no.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I'll get to that.
All right, I'll shut up.
So I've done some research, and come to find out they have a sister agency here in Charlotte called Lyons Services. And
this was 2001?
2001.
Okie doke.
I went and done an interview on a Friday. And it's a long 3-hour interview. The CEO interviewed me, and he said, Philip, I don't have a job for you right now. Let me think about it, and I'll call you back on Monday. Well, that was the longest weekend of my life. Yeah. So he called me back on Monday, early Monday morning, said, Philip, sorry to tell you, don't have a job for you. And, you know, Ray, at that time, I was just depressed.
I can understand that.
You know, the world don't want me. Nobody wants me. It's just, what can I do? You know, now I've got a wife and I got an apartment to pay for, and I can't do it. You know, it makes it feel like a failure. So anyway, I had a temper tantrum and tore up a Kleenex box.
Is that all you tore up?
That's
not
all
bad,
I tore up.
Not a bad fit.
That's all I
wish mine were as simple as that.
I saw it. Tiffany said, put your big boy pants on and call him back. Right?
Yeah.
And so I called him back, and his name was Jim. I said, Jim, I've got two requests for you. Either one, help me find a job, because discrimination is live. I don't care what people tell you, it's live, and it's out there in the world, and I'm facing it. I said, help me find a job, or two, let me come to work and work 2 weeks for free, and I won't charge you anything, and let me show you what I can do. He said, okay. He said, come to work tomorrow. And guess what day that was? That was 9/11/2001.
Mm-hmm. When you said 2001, I said, keep talking.
So 9/11/2001 was my first day at work. Mm-hmm. So I started, went in there and was set in the back office, started doing a report. The tower started falling. Our phone started ringing off the hook. I was moved to the front to answer the phone. The lady that was the secretary, she didn't call in that day until about 1 o'clock. She called in and said, I can't make it. He said, well, don't come back. You don't have a job. And the rest is history. So that's
you sat in her chair.
I mm-hmm. sat in her chair. Yeah.
Now, how'd you get to be CEO?
Well,
it's a long story, isn't it?
That is a long story. So,
and you didn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this won't take long. No. We don't have nothing to talk about.
So I graduated with a computer degree, and at that time, Lion Services did nothing with computers.
Well, you just filled a big void.
And so I come on board and tried to learn as much about the company as I could. I'm a nosy person. I want to see how things work and see how mm-hmm. things operate. I need to know that stuff.
Sure.
I learned as much about the company as I could. And I don't know, 2007, 2008, somewhere around there, I applied to ECU for a master's degree, master's in business. And it took me a long time, Ray, to get a master's degree, because I'd done one course at a time. But guess what? I completed it in 2016. Now I got a master's degree.
In what?
I got an MBA, a master's of business administration.
Business, okay, cool. So, awesome. We're going to come back to this story. That won't take long. right after the break, you're listening here to About Your House every Saturday. You know the story. 8 to 11 on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app and stream us. That's by far the best way to hear us. On your browser, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Facebook Live, YouTube Live on About Your House radio page. Come back. I got Philip Murph and his wife, Tiffany, in the house in studio talking about Lion Services, what they're all about, and much, much more about the story and what they do. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing we have in our community that a lot of people don't even know exists. So we'll talk about it. Come back. We'll be here. Welcome back. Getting a little mouthy there during the break. talking to Philip Murph, CEO of Line Services here on North Tryon Street, and what his story is. And actually, not only his story, but what Line Services does, and he is such a part of it because of his disability, being legally blind. And so you went and got your degree, but that just helped you in the business administration side, I presume.
That's right. And so, you know, I've been with the company since 01, and we saw a lot of changes. Whenever I was first hired in 01, we had about 35 employees. And
well, can I stop you there a minute, please? What did Line Services do in here in the community when you started? What'd you walk into?
So let me tell you a little bit of history about the company. So
okay,
Line
please.
Services was started in 1935, and they were started by the Charlotte Central Lions Club. The Lions Clubs was started in 1917 in Chicago, Illinois. And the reason is because Melvin Jones saw a need for helping people that are blind, one, because it had never been done before, and then two, because of World War One, a lot of guys were coming back because of all the gases, and they were going blind. So Lions Club started in 1917 to help blind people. And then 1935, the Charlotte Central Lions Club here in Charlotte, which was one of the biggest clubs in the U.S. at one time, they started Lion Services. Back then, it was called the Charlotte Workshop for the Blind. And in 1938, U.S. Congress got word of what was going on around the country because agencies like ours were starting to show up. They wanted to put a mechanism in place to help support these organizations. They put in place what was called the Wagner or Day Act. And that was in 1938. So that stipulated that the federal government had to buy from agencies like us. Now, at that time, all we were doing was recaning chairs. If you had an office chair, it was probably made out of a cane chair. And the employees were just recaning those chairs.
As now, the employees.
Yes, sir.
Were all blind or sight depleted. I don't know.
So,
you give me the correct
word. That's a misnomer.
And that's why I'm bringing it up.
And so the way the act is written mm-hmm. is if you're going to make, let's use an example, a shirt. If you're going to make a shirt, all the labor force that goes into manufacturing that shirt has to be 75% of that labor force has to be blind.
Okay.
So we can use 25% of the labor force can be sighted.
Okay.
For instance, there's some jobs, even with technology and even with adaptive equipment, it requires sight. Let's say, for instance, I'm using this as an example, maybe sewing on these buttons that I have on my shirt. That might be a sighted job. So if it takes us altogether an hour to produce one shirt, then 15 minutes of that hour can be done by a sighted person.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. During the war and World War II, our company grew, and it started producing mops here in Charlotte and sheeting mattress covers for the soldiers in World War II. And then went through Vietnam. They started producing more war fighting equipment, headbands and helmet bands and chin straps. And then Desert Storm, we've done a lot of neckerchiefs. And then back up one second. In 1971, Congress updated the Wagner a Day Act and put in there the Javits portion. And what that does is says that it created two entities, National Industries for the Blind and then National Industries for the Severely Handicapped, which now is called Source America. So we, Lion Services, functions under National Industries for the Blind. And we do all of our reporting back to what we call NIB, and they report it to a commission called the Ability One Commission to ensure that we're following that 75% rule. And they want to make sure that we are taking care of our employees. That took place in 1971. 75, Charlotte Workshop for the Blind became incorporated, and became Lions Services Incorporated.
I got to interject this. Where'd the brooms come from? Oh, is that a crazy question? Did I corner you there?
Where did
I say the brooms? Okay. I bought brooms, I thought, from Lion Services.
So the answer to your question is you're getting Lion Services and Lions Clubs mixed up.
Okay. Then I certainly am.
So you're getting
you
those mixed up.
That's
getting
why
those
I wanted clarification. Because so I thought, see, that's what I thought when I met you.
No. So you have the Lions Club. All that is a service organization. It's a club.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Lions Services is a corporation that employs people that are blind.
Okay.
All right. So we are a true company.
No, right, oh, so I know. I see that. But I, you know.
That's the difference.
I hear you.
So our link to both of those is through our board of directors and our name. All
right. You start when you were talking about employment when you went, there was 35 employees or something?
Yes,
like?
Sir.
Okay, now how many employees are there?
So, obviously.
Now, you can get there if you want to tell the story between 35 and what it is today. That's about to be good.
So, obviously, in 01, you know, we had.
When you hit the field, you was plowing, baby.
Yeah.
And you started plowing, went to college, got more bigger tractors. And then you come back and said, we got a big field to plow.
Well, I come back from college, I had to get a side-by-side because I had a wife that helped.
There you go. Right? There you go.
So,
tool up, baby.
So, in 01, obviously, we had the war that started in 01. And that helped the corporation and the country, in my opinion, because people went to work. And we, during the war, you know, roughly it lasted about 20 years, Lion Services got up to 345 employees.
Here in Charlotte?
Yes, sir.
Wow. 345
employees. And Ray, I can't remember how many blind employees we had at the time, but well over 200 blind employees.
Well, right now, you've got 200 and some odd employees, don't you?
Right now, today, roughly about 280 employees.
Okay, I knew. So. Well, and when I went in that building, and I shared it the week after on the program, and I'm going to share it again, you know, it was kind of emotional for me because the people I met and the people I saw working felt, golly, they were happy. They were content. They felt purpose. They loved what they were doing. And they couldn't see nothing. And I say that, and you're saying, how in the world? And now you might ask yourself, what did they do? They did everything required to build military apparel and equipment.
Yes.
Did I say that pretty well?
That's correct, sir.
Military apparel and equipment. They, you know, for the Army right
yes,
now, the
correct.
Contract I saw was
correct.
The Army. And I was blown away. I literally was blown away. I had to take a moment and say, wow, you know, the people were absolutely incredible.
Wait, hold on to my thought because I'm going to forget it. But let's go your route here. So what I tell people whenever they come and take a tour, and I tell people blindness is the difference between color of hair. That's all that's the difference about blindness or visual acuity. Some people have blonde hair. Some people have red hair. Some people have no hair. Blindness is the same thing, and you deal with it how you want to deal with it. For instance, Ray, God forbid, you went home and got in a car accident today, and you lost one or two of your legs. What are you going to do? You're not going to die. You're not going to give up. Mm-mm. You're going to strap on
compensate, you're going to make it work.
You're going to strap on one of those prosthetic legs,
sure.
And you're going to go out there and climb ladders.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's what a blind person does. Same thing. A blind person can do anything that they put their heart into and they want to do.
And that was very evident. And, you know, and they had and it goes right back to every person walking, to your point, we're not different. We're just, I mean, we're all human beings, but we all differ in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And we all have our abilities.
That's correct.
And our strengths.
That's correct.
And our power.
I tell people, I said, we call it a disability, but it's not. It will be if you make it one. That's
right.
That's the disabling part is yourself.
I get it.
That's all. So
God gave us all incredible miracle powers. Yeah. We just have not been taught to use them. And being blind, you have to compensate.
That's right. So, and you learn how, you know, I'm 46 years old. The good thing about me is I've always been blind. We have some people that are in their 40s and 50s that go blind because of different
ailments,
health
diseases,
issues.
Whatever.
And that's harder for them because they lose their independence. And if you lose your independence, that is not only a physical attribute you've lost, but it's more of a mental problem that you've lost.
Sure.
And I've had people come to work and say, Philip, I've been a truck driver, and I've been sitting at home with nothing to do, and I just wanted to honestly shoot myself because I can't deal with it.
That's exactly what kids are going through, too.
And they come.
I'm sorry to relate, but I have to.
I agree. They come to work, and they say, I've met people here that I've never seen sunshine before and so happy to come to work, and it brings a new perspective to life.
It's inspirational, I'm going to tell you. Blew me away. Very. Matter of fact, I think if you want to go somewhere for therapy, take a trip down to line service. Take a walk through the facility back there. Now, you have to go with somebody, obviously, because, you know, there's danger. No, you have to be safe and follow all safety precautions. But the point is, it's definitely inspirational.
So let me go back to where the other story was. So during the war, we got up to 345 employees. I became president and CEO in June of 21. So we had come out of the pandemic, and in June of 21, I became CEO. And I inherited a lot of issues, and one of the biggest issues is we had no plan for an exit strategy for the war. The government had told us, hey, we're spending lots and lots of money, but all that's going to go away because we have no need for it. And I had to make some hard decisions my first 6 months of work. And so I had to cut labor force by over 100 employees, and that was hard to do.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
That was very difficult. In 22, prices obviously went skyrocket.
Yep.
Raw materials, and the government says, hey, that's not our problem. That's your problem. The market does not justify a price increase, and I'm over here screaming and yelling, what market are you looking at? And so, Ray, it almost put us out of business. I mean, it really did. In 23, we're struggling to hang on, trying to make ends meet. You know, employees are wanting raises, and I'm just trying to pay the light bill and try to keep us going. And then in 24 has been a different year for us. It's been good. It's been very good. Right now, we've got 280 employees. We've hired a lot of employees. So let me tell you what we do. We manufacture items that support our men and women in uniform, Army and Navy and Air Force. Right now, we're producing the chin straps for the Army. We call it the improved retention system. We're doing you ever heard the word camelback?
Yes.
So a camelback is something you would go to a sporting goods store and pull off the shelf. It's a water carrier for bicyclists. The Army soldiers carry one of those, every one of them. Everyone that's ever been made for the Army has went through Lion Services. And so
when I was over there that day, I saw a lot of them.
Yes.
Bunches.
So we make those. We also make a new rucksack for the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And then we produce cheesecloth. We convert cheesecloth, and that's a cleaning cloth that the Army uses. Mm-hmm. And then we have helmet bands that we've manufactured since Vietnam era, and what that does is protect from friendly fire. But here's my story for 24. Ray, I was faced with some hard decisions and about the corporation. You know, what am I going to do? Because the decisions were, how am I going to stay open? How am I going to stay open? Because I can't make it. And I went to a place called Man Camp. Man Camp is ran by Nikita Koloff and Lex Luger. And I went out into the woods, and I just said, God, we had to have a quiet day and a Bible reflection. I said, God, what do you want me to do? What can I do about the company? And I didn't hear anything. And then the next day I went out and said, God, I got to have an answer. What do you want me to do? I got one word, Ray. And this was true, loud, and clear. And it said, wait. Wait. Okay. I got so excited. I skipped back to my room. Come back, Ray, and instantaneously within a week, the government's come to us and said, instead of us buying 15,000 of these chin straps, we want 30,000. And a couple weeks later, the hydration care, instead of us ordering 8, we want 25,000 per month. These are per month.
Mm-hmm.
On the rucksack, they said, we've got one contract for you. Here's your next contract. Ray, this is the first time I've been at this company for 23 years now. This is the first time that since I've been there, we have orders on our books that go out until December of 25.
That's awesome. Good.
I can't believe it.
Now the benefit of line services is the jobs and purposes that they're providing for community people. And that's really the story that is the beautiful part of this.
Yes.
Is what you're doing, because when I went, here again, I'm going back to the peoples, because, you know, this is reflective of really what America was built on. And why is it the worker bees are having to struggle so darn hard? And I'm talking about all the worker bees. I be one of them, okay? I'm a worker bee. And there are a lot of workers, and you know what? There wouldn't squat happen if you didn't have the worker bees.
That's right.
And I'm talking from radio, TV, electrical, plumbing, HVAC. The worker bees are what make it happen. But yet the worker bees are the ones that are struggling. I'm tired of the crap. Well, here's a great example. Without the worker bees out there in that building, none of this stuff would be pulled off.
That's right.
And it takes a village in your plant, because I got to reflect a little bit. There's a lot of tools, a lot of sewing machines. And it's all cut, made, manufactured. There's fabric comes in the door, and that one front door, and these rucksacks and all this stuff go out the back door, pretty much, right?
That's right. That's correct. Yes, sir. Everything's done in-house.
Everything. And to watch people that have a visual disability to some degree or completely making all this on sewing machines, and you're thinking, how in the world do they do it? With specially designed equipment that you would be amazed. And they're so darn proud. And they'll tell you how, what. I made 1,200 of these today. They'll tell you how many they produce, and they're very proud of it.
Yep. So, Ray, I look at a job. I don't look at a job as, oh, no, I got to go to work today. I look at a job as, yes, I get an opportunity to come to work today.
Yeah, purpose.
Yes, I have a purpose. Yes, I love these people I work with. Yes, Philip is listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear from our employees. All right, I'm not going to say my employees, but our employees. I want to hear. I want to know about their dog getting sick. I want to know what's going on in their life.
Well, Dana was amazing. When she'd go through, she'd call everybody by name.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Miss Dana.
That's what we got to do. I want everybody to know my name, and I want to know their name. Yeah. We have employees that's been there. I want to give a shout out to Rufus. I know he's listening.
Yeah, Rufus, my buddy Rufus.
Give a shout out to Rufus. I know he's listening. Rufus has been there 30 years.
Yeah,
Rufus is blind.
Right. Really? No.
Yeah.
Come on. Rufus ain't blind.
Rufus is blind.
No, he's not.
Yeah. And his wife. I won't say her name, but his wife. So,
right.
So good morning. We have a. Our oldest employee has ever worked there has been 93 years old. He passed away several years ago. So age doesn't...
What did he die of? No, I mean, at 93, you know, we can laugh about that one, you know.
Honestly...
Man, he made it. God!
He died of a broken heart, honestly. His wife died about two months before.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he died of a broken heart.
Yes, sir.
Because he just quit eating.
Well, it's time for him to go. He lost his partner.
Yeah. So
I get it.
So age means nothing to us. You close your eyes right now and color means nothing to us, because color doesn't mean, I'm talking about the skin of your skin tone.
Sure.
Color doesn't mean anything to a blind person.
No.
You know, you
shouldn't
say,
mean anything to anybody.
You say, hey, get in that red car. You can't tell a blind person to get in the red car. I don't know what color red is.
It's the blue one over there.
And I'm not making fun of blind people. I'm just being honest.
Oh, no, it's a reality.
What my point is the color of your skin or what your background is, I don't care. Because I'm glad you're coming to work and helping us. That's what I like, is we have so much diversification there. We have so many people with different backgrounds, different skill sets. It's wonderful.
It saves lives, folks. Giving people purpose, giving them a way to feel good, it empowers them.
Here's another thing, is we've got about, I think, 7 veterans. So look at it this way. We're actually helping our country, because we're putting uniforms on these soldiers that's going out and fighting for us as a country. So we're helping our country. These blind employees that society says, Philip, we don't have a job for you because you're blind, because we just hired that guy named Bill. We are helping those people with their protection of this country.
Right. And I honor that, and thank you for that. Thank you for what you're providing for our community. And this is why I wanted to bring you on the show, to make people that aren't aware of this. And I'm going to ask you a question when we get back. But I got to take a break. We're talking to Philip Murph and his wife Tiffany in studio this morning, talking about line services, what they do, and what they provide in so many different ways to our community. Come on back. We'll talk a little more to him. Bruce Zaidman's coming up in a bit. We'll talk American Wood Reface, replacement windows, and just probably 2 old fellas griping about the world as it is. I don't know. My buddy Bruce, we're the same age, so no telling what you might hear. Come on back. We'll talk. Welcome back. Talking to Philip Murph, CEO of Line Services. And, hey, what's next?
So, Ray,
you got plans, I know.
We got a lot of plans going on. A lot of things are changing. You asked earlier, how do I do it all? And I do it all with staff. I can't do it all myself.
We've got to rely on OP, other people.
You have to.
And it's harder today, though, to do that than ever before.
Well, I've
I hope you're doing better than me.
All I can tell you is that the Lord has sent me some good people to rely on, and we've got a good team in place that helps me put the vision, there's a pun intended there, the vision in place for the future, and we've got a good vision so far.
You know, I could tell you got a good staff, I got to back up a little bit and say how grateful I am to have the people in my life that help me with Put Tools in Schools now, because I could not do it I literally could not do it alone.
That's right.
And it takes people that are passionate and service-oriented and to make things happen that really care.
Yeah.
And there again, I know I preach it a lot, but it's all around purpose and serving.
That's right.
And when you go there, it changes your whole life.
Yes.
Because in once something I've said, and really it's become worse than anything else, we're all chasing money. Yeah. And you alluded to that in your story here. And it's just a way of life right now. And I'm going to say this. I've said it every Saturday, and I will continue to say it. It's never been harder to make it.
Yeah.
For anyone and everyone. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care what you are, where you place in the hierarchy of life in corporate America. I don't care what it is. It's harder to deal with finances today than ever before in my 73 years on this planet. And it's hard for a lot of people. It's a struggle. And some ain't making it. And yeah. They give up.
Yeah.
So it's really bad out there right now. So even though you might have a job, it still ain't enough. And that's the sad part. I'm telling you, man, something's got to happen. And I don't like what might be in this crystal ball either. But, you know, we just got to spread some love. Help each other every day. Make the best of it, right?
That's correct.
Just get you, what you say, get your big boy pants on. Let's go.
That's right.
You know, but tell me some of your plans.
So we're based on textiles. Line Services is based on manufacturing textiles. So if anyone in the area is listening and would like to have something manufactured or like to have us to evaluate something for them, give us a call, send me an email.
Man, you can make attic tents.
I can make attic
See,
tents.
See, all those things you're shipping over to China could be done right here in Charlotte, giving people opportunities and more purpose.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And you're right, because when you say, based on what I saw, man, you can make a lot of attic tents.
We can make anything. If you can think of it, we can make it. That's what I'm going to tell you. But if it deals with welding, there's a thing process called welding of material. We don't do any of that, and I forgot what the technical term is. But we can manufacture anything that you need that's dealing with textiles. So I want to stick with the company, staying with textiles, because that's our bread and butter.
It works.
But I want to diversify the company. I've hired a lady named Dana. And she's helped me take some of my ideas and expand on them. So we've started a thing called the Lion's Den. It's Digital Equity Network Navigation.
And hold on, back up. Say it again.
Digital Equity Network Navigation.
Okay.
D-E-N-N, Lion's Den.
Okay, one of them synonyms or whatever you got. Yeah, buddy.
Thanks, Dana, for that one.
Another one. Thank you, Dana. Another one. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So the Lion's Den is the concept behind this is to help people that are blind struggling with technology.
That's awesome.
Just you think about if you're going blind, your whole mentality changes, mm-hmm. and the iPhone or the phone that you've seen in the past, you can no longer see. How do you use that phone for your benefit? Because it's a phone or a computer is all it is a tool to get you.
You're exactly right.
To process what you need to get done. And we want to ensure that these blind people have these tools they need to help them function in a daily life in a sighted society.
Awesome.
So we will teach blind how to use iPhones, teach them how to use a laptop. And just because that, I know people are saying, well, how can a blind person use a iPhone?
I was kind of thinking that. I really was.
How can that happen?
Yeah. Well, how in the world? Come on now, tell me.
So an iPhone is the best device for a blind person. I was at one time total Android, but now I've switched over to iPhone. You can set it up so it functions for a blind person 100%. The screen looks black to a sighted person, but as you move your finger across the screen, it will read to you what you're touching.
Talk to you.
It will talk to you. So let's say that you touch Facebook, since we're on Facebook Live, you touch that app, it'll ask if you want to open it. you put open, and it will read your page to you, whatever's on there.
Wow.
But you have to teach a person how to use those tools.
You gotta, absolutely.
That's what this Digital Equity Network is going to do for us, is teach these people. And I know not everyone wants to work in manufacturing. If you're blind, I understand that. And so my goal is to take this Lion's Den, expand upon it, and help find people technology jobs in the community. And so we'll place blind people in the community. That's a goal. That's down the road. But we're just now getting the Lion's Den started. By the end of this year, we should be on a good path forward. That's one new portion. Second new portion is called the Lion's Heart. And don't ask me, Ray, what the heart stands for. It's one of those,
it doesn't matter.
One of those acronyms.
I really won't know.
One of those acronyms.
It's heart.
We stood up a health center in our facility.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's set up just for total blind people. So we have in there scales that talk to you, blood pressure machine that talks, a prescription reader that talks, a thermometer that talks. Anything that you need for daily life dealing with health.
Wellness.
It's all speaking to you. We're going to work with some of the local hospitals to get that into their mobile units, and they're going to take this system that we've put up, update it for us, and put it across their whole entire network across the nation. And so that's one of our initiatives this next coming year. We also have what's called the Lion's Care. Lion's Care is dealing with the mental aspect for blind people. I keep talking about the mental aspect because it's very critical. If you're not mentally capable, then you're not physically capable. And so I want to help people overcome these challenges that they think that they have. I want to help them with therapy. And so that's where the Lion's Care program will come into play. And then one of our last final things that we're working on is called the Braille Trail.
Yeah, I saw that on the website just then.
The Braille Trail, it's going to be on our property. It's going to go alongside the Charlotte Cross Walk or Charlotte Cross Trail.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start the initial portion of the Braille Trail. What this does is it highlights, we're going to have columns, 12 columns, and it's going to highlight people that have disabilities in our community that have made a significant impact on the Charlotte community. And it might have their picture on it, might have their story on it. I don't know how it's going to set up yet, but it's going to also be in Braille so blind people can feel it. The good thing is, Ray, is we've got a lot of connections behind us, or the property behind us. We have a lot of momentum now, and we have supporters that say, we're going to take it from your property and take it through this neighborhood, and we're going to take it all the way to the light rail train station. So it's going to highlight all the way through this new neighborhood being developed. I want to get some national recognition out of this, and this is going to be a good benefit for not only us, but for the city of Charlotte. Because there's a lot of people out there that have made an impact that people don't even know about. We're working with the Charlotte Museum of History to do some research for us to see who can be highlighted and spotlighted. And then we're working with another townhome apartment complex behind us that's being built to help us develop one of the country's first disability neighborhoods. And so it'll all be tailored towards blind people and disabilities. So that if you're blind and you live in that neighborhood, you can get in a local short transit and go wherever you want to in the neighborhood, and it'll take you there for free.
So they're going to develop, you know, back when I took the tour, you had some things going on about, you know, affordable housing.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And you've kind of melded it. Now you've done some growing even since I was there.
With a lot
and
of
that's
changes.
Great.
Yes, sir.
That's great. So things are happening.
Yes, sir.
That's great. So there's going to be some residential around over there at your facility.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
That's awesome. Well, there's certainly building going everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's building going on. Can't go down a street anymore and not have a detour, roadblock, disturbance. But welcome to Charlotte. All right, we got to take a top of the hour break here. We're going to come back. We're talking to Philip Murph, CEO of Line Services, hearing his story. And I hope educate and inform a lot of you folks listening about what they do, how they do. And, hey, just knowing sometimes is a great thing of what is available. So if you meet somebody, and we'll talk about, well, is Line Services hiring? They have any positions open? We're going to talk about that when we come back. A lot of opportunities are in and around Charlotte, but a lot of people don't know about them. We'll tell you a little bit about some of them. Come on back. We'll be here.
Yet hour two, Philip Murph, CEO of Lion Services, and his wife Tiffany continue telling their story and talk more about Lion Services. Bruce Zaidman of American Wood Reface also joins us this hour. He's very experienced in the trades. He's been doing it a long time, so stick around. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide a little bit of encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back, hour number two, and talking to Tiffany and husband, Philip, and thank you for bringing him this morning.
You're welcome.
Philip doesn't like to drive. He doesn't like to bounce around on the streets. I gotta make light of it, Philip.
So, Ray, that was one of my problems. You know, I came from a car family.
That could be. Yeah, could be, buddy. I'm going to tell you.
I came from a
boom.
Car.
Boom. Oh, shoot. He did it again.
I came from a car family. And so my dad, he's got 257 Chevrolets.
And, oh, really?
And
wow.
So, you know, back being a kid, I helped him put all that together. And so growing up.
You just told me a lot right there.
So growing up, you know, I was thinking maybe one day I can drive it. And right. then you turn 15, 16, and the doctor says, nope, you're not going to drive.
You never drive. Come on, be honest with me. Did you ever drive?
The golf cart. The
golf cart.
Well, you drove, okay. and that's driving.
I hope we're on a radio.
I just found it real hard to believe with your limited visual ability, okay, that you ain't jumped on a golf cart, yeah. a go-kart, something.
He's done golf cart. Yeah.
And I hope we're on a radio, but, you know, some illegal driving, you know, but. Not too
well,
often.
Look, come on. I asked that, you know, I drove when I was 12. Now, I didn't get out on the open road and drive, you know, yeah. but I was taught when I was 12. Now, did I drive? No.
Yeah.
But I could.
Yeah.
I could drive since I was 12 years old because my cousin felt compelled, boy, you going to learn to drive. Well, okay, I guess I'm going to. And I did. But there again, you're stubborn. And I'm going to reflect on something here. Well, I know he's stubborn. Am I right, Tim?
Yeah.
He's determined, and you know what? Where he got that from? He told me something just then. His father, he helped his father mm-hmm. work on cars. Mm-hmm. Any kid that tells me that is like telling me I was raised on a farm.
Yeah.
Because you've got abilities. One, your father was there, and people don't realize what a big problem the divorce rate's creating. In America, without fathers being present, big problem. Well, you did. You had your father there, and he taught you. The times you helped your father was tremendously beneficial to what you grew up with, and that's why you always wanted to know how it worked.
Yeah,
that's the connection. How does it work? Because if you're working on cars, it's critical thinking 101, and you got to figure things out. My brother called me one day, Ray, what's the firing order on a Ford? And I spit it out. He said, I knew that I could call you and you know it, you know. And Chevrolet, same thing. Now, don't ask me right now. I could probably give you a Chevrolet. but the point is critical thinking.
Yes, correct.
And you've done that since you were a kid because of that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I take a lot of things
for
granted.
But you were exposed to it.
That's right. That's right.
Even though you were limited, but you, like you said, you had to overcome it.
That's right.
And you fought like heck to overcome it, and here you are today.
And that's the way I run the company. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear problems from my staff. You know, we have 20 people on staff, and my motto is, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions.
Right.
Because that gets their buy-in. That gets them to say, Philip, here is problem. A, but I've come up with solution A, B, C, D, and I think my best choice is solution D.
That's critical thinking.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm forced out of
work. And guess
what's
missing from our kids coming out of school? Critical thinking.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want me to do? I want you to think.
Yeah.
Look around you. It's right there in front of you. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't get crazy about that. I've had a rough week in that department yet, guys. I'm sorry. Thinking. I'm mentoring a 20-year-old, okay, that don't know much. And it ain't his fault, but keep talking. I'm sorry.
Well, I want to tell the audience a couple things. So
sure.
Go to our website, Lions Services. So it's spelled like the animal with an S, lionsservices.org. We've got some events coming up. October the 5th, we have a walk for blind independence. This is our second walk. It's going to be at the Eastway Park. All proceeds that's raised from that go right back to the company. It goes right back into helping these new programs we're putting in place. So I'm not spending any of that money on anything except for helping these blind people. Second thing is October the 10th. Come out and see us at Triple C Brewery. They're going to do a beer for us. It's be a Tap Tap C. It's going to have a blind cane on it, and the proceeds from that come back to Lion Services. And it's a neat looking can. So go on there and check that out. October the 12th.
But drink the beverage too.
I'm not. You can do what? Just buy some. I'm not telling you what to do with it. Just buy some.
Well, I'm telling you, drink it. He's saying buy it. I'm saying then you drink it. You know, enjoy it. And then look at the can and say, that was good. Got another one?
So, October the 12th, I'm going to drop a line here. I'm not going to give a lot of details, but October 12th, there's an Xfinity Series race in Charlotte. Lion Services will be present at that race. So look on one of the cars. We're going to have our logo on one of the cars out there.
Awesome. Good.
So we worked on some. And this is, I'll tell you what car it is. It's going to be car 88. It's through the Dell Junior car.
Okay.
Connor Mozek. Connor Mozek is a great friend for the Corporation for Lion Services. He's volunteered to allow us to put our logo on there to get support. And it's going to be a good relationship here in the near future.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate all y'all are doing for the community and the visually disabled. And now a question, too. You talked about all the events. Do you have opportunities for people?
Yeah, we have opportunities. So
jobs, right, what we're talking about.
So let's put it in. There's lots of opportunities, Ray. We have jobs right now, so if anyone is blind or knows someone that's legally blind, so what that means is people say, well, if I take off my glasses, I can't see. That I'm sorry, but, you know, you got to go to the doctor and say, hey, you are qualified for legal blindness. Come and see us. We got jobs for you. I promise you, we got jobs for you. Come out and see us.
That's great.
We need about 30 employees right now.
30?
30, at least.
With those new contracts and everything I was saying,
at
you
least.
Need some help.
At least. And don't say, well, I don't know how to sew. I don't care. Come out. We'll work with you.
Let me go somewhere, too, in your, because you cannot have what you have over there without visually very talented technicians working on those machines.
Right.
What's your staff of technicians?
So we have one blind trainer. So we have a trainer.
Uh-huh.
She's been there for 15 years.
Wow.
She knows textiles inside and out. She's self-taught, but she's very good with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so
she's blind.
Well, she's not blind. She is. We call her our blind trainer, but she's not blind. But
you call her your blind trainer, but yeah. You know, I get it though. Yeah. That's why I have to. You have to watch how you say these things, Phil.
Gotta
watch it.
But each department, each manufacturing line has a lead and a section lead.
Yeah,
and those employees also teach people how to sew, teach blind people how to sew. Now, we don't really teach sighted people. We expect sighted. If you're going to work with us, we want you to come right in the door ready to go, because we don't want to spend time teaching you how to do things. But a blind person, I don't care if you can, all you can do is just turn a notebook page. We're going to teach you something. And
cool.
That's what we want to do.
That's awesome. Well, you know, when I talked about the machines, you got a lot of sewing machines in that place.
We've got probably close to 700 sewing machines altogether.
And some technician, somebody's got to take care of their sewing machines.
We've got three mechanics on staff.
There you go.
We got three mechanics. We got a facility manager on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So between the four, they take care of our building. They take care of our mechanics. Because you think about it, if you're running, you know, at one time we might have 200, maybe 250 sewing machines running at one time. Things are going to break.
That's where I'm coming from.
Things are going to break.
You can't have machinery and it don't break. Or you got to take care of it.
You got to change oil. You got to do stuff. And so we have three mechanics, and they stay busy constantly moving things around and doing PM and keeping us going. Because that without those mechanics, without those people having that knowledge.
Oh, you got to have that support.
We couldn't do our job. And
that's
so
why
that's
I was going there, because
they're
as vital to that operation as
Absolutely.
The power.
And one other thing that people overlook, and I tell everybody, one of the critical things is our janitors. We have two janitors. Think about this. A blind person, how they know their surroundings. They know their surroundings by touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so if those services are not clean, now all they're doing is spreading germs. So our janitors are just as important as I am.
Oh, it's an infrastructure.
They have to keep that facility clean.
Yep. And not only that, but everywhere you go in there, there's pathways that can be read with a blind cane.
Yes. So we want to encourage independence, because independence is important for a blind person. I know that from experience. You want to be your own person. And so I don't expect people, and I will not hold hands, and I will not micromanage. So if you have a job to do, either you do it or you find another job because you won't be working for me. I mean, I make sure that people understand that we're not here to loaf around.
We're not here to babysit you.
We're not here to babysit.
Or create codependency.
We are here to make you a person with integrity.
And purpose.
That's right.
That's awesome. And you're doing a great job.
I hope so.
Because there's some happy people.
I hope so.
Man, I could not believe the happy that day. You walk through there, and I ran into four or five of them. But because you don't go in a building every day with a group of blind people, and you have to, and it was an eye-awakening experience for me. It truly was, but it was one that really, really, really inspired me.
So Rufus has been here for 30 years. We have another gentleman that's been there for 43 years. He's our longest longevity.
Wow, 43 years.
So a lot of our blind employees have been there 15 years plus. And I tell people, you know, I want to make sure that they know you're going to have a job as long as the economy is sustainable and the government keeps providing to us, you're going to have a job. Here's one other thing I want to ask is anyone is out there needing something done, I keep harping on this, needing something done, the manufacturer, come and tell us and let us know.
Right.
We'd be happy to do it here in Charlotte, made by blind people.
You know, that's a big outreach, and that's a good one. And lineservices.org. is the website. You can reach out all the information, just like any great website. You kind of that's the biggest tool we can have right now as a nonprofit. But Line Services is a for-profit business.
No, it's a nonprofit.
It is a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit business. Yeah, 501c3.
Okay.
So we're a nonprofit.
I got you. So there you go, folks. I mean, you know, it's something that's in the community. Where are y'all located?
We're at 4600 North Tryon Street. So it's the intersection of Sugar Creek and North Tryon. We're in an old Lowe's building, Lowe's Home Improvement, built in 1971. We bought it in 95. And
how many acres you got over there?
8 acres.
8 acres.
8 acres. And so my goal in the next 3 years is do some expansion. We gotta build on. Because I want to make Lion Services the central hub for people that are blind in the Charlotte and surrounding communities.
Charlotte Metro. Yep.
Yeah. So if you say, hey, I need a magnifier, call Lions. I need help filling out my paperwork, call Lions. That's what I want to see the company.
You want to support the blind community, period.
I want to support the blind community, period. Supposedly there's 17,000 individuals here in Charlotte that have some type of eye condition. We're only touching 150 of them.
I got you. That's awesome. I'm glad I had you on today, and I hate we missed it before, but will you come back? And not you're leaving yet. I want you to come back after the break, and we'll wrap it up. But
only if my wife will allow me.
Yeah.
Oh, now listen to him. Yeah. Has he learned the ins and outs of marriage? I believe the boy got it down.
23 years.
There you go. Well, congratulations on that. Keep it up. Keep it up. All right, we're going to take a break here. 704-227-8986 is the number if you do want to make a comment. We're going to wrap up when we come back with Tiffany and Philip from Line Services. It's been a great, informative conversation this morning with the two of them. I'm going to find out a little bit more about their personal life when we come back. So stay tuned. More about your house coming your way.
Are you reeling in the yeast? Stowing away the tide. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend in the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the yeast? Throwing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Throwing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
Low rider, the low.
All right, welcome back. Got a little mouthy there during the break. Anyway, you know, y'all been married how long? 26 years?
23 years.
23 years. How many kids?
Two.
How old?
18, almost 14.
What they going to do?
One is looking at colleges right now.
Which one, 19?
Yeah, the 18-year-old, yeah.
The 18-year-old? Uh-huh. And does he got any aspirations of what he wants to do?
Business is of interest to him.
What kind? Now I got to ask these difficult questions.
I don't think he's sure. He wants to own his own business one day.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You hear that word a lot these days.
And that's where he is. He's extremely talented. He's an artist.
Okay, cool. Creator.
He's extremely
don't
creative.
Worry about him. He's fine.
He's also a cook. He cooks really well.
Creators are cooks.
He had showed interest in cooking school for a while, but he decided he wanted that to be more of a hobby because he enjoys it so much.
Sure.
But he has a very strong work ethic. He's interned with Philip this summer. He has a job. He goes to school. We don't worry about what.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell you, it's none of my business, and I probably shouldn't say anything, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it's just who I am. You don't have to worry about him.
No, I'm not.
Whether he goes to school or not. If he doesn't go to college, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because he's got a work ethic.
Yeah.
See, and his daddy's already taught him some things about business. Not that I'm saying he doesn't need to go to school, but if I had to, you ask me, he don't need to go to school because he's an artist. He's a creator. See, tell me one successful Oleart guy in the technology world that graduated from college. You won't name one because they aren't. None of them graduated from college. But yet, they're billionaires. You know, that's the misnomer about education today, but you said a key word. He's an artist. Yeah. He creates. He can cook. But he's a thinker.
Yeah.
If you can critical think in today's world, help me, Philip. If you can critical think in today's world, you'll be a success.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's lacking, because they're taking it away from our kids in the education system.
But look at me, Ray. I thought I was going to be in computers and rule the world, and I don't want anything to do with computers now.
Right.
You know, I want to help people, and I use my talents and expertise in helping people.
Exactly. And people ask me, you ask me, what do you do, Ray? I said, what do you want me to do? I help people. That's what my career's been, be it remodeling, maintenance, automotive, I don't care what, and your son, same way. Is he not?
Yeah.
And he helps people too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's very helpful, yeah.
See, but you know why he got that? Because he had two parents, taught him values, he went to church, he's got morals, he was taught, right?
Yeah.
Out of love.
Yeah.
Sorry to get preachy, but.
It's all right, no.
I see the writing on the wall, man.
Our younger son is in eighth grade, and he's more of an academic, and that's more my area too. But I think he will be just fine. He's very shy. That's probably the biggest obstacle we've got with him right now. But
learning to talk.
Yeah, just in talking in front of people. But he's extremely bright.
Most important thing we all do is communicate.
Yeah, I had to learn too. I mean, we both were very quiet.
Well, when you came up here this morning, I said, "You ever been on radio?" I can't be on radio. I can't do that. Oh my God! See, I said, "Well, guess what? We got a policy up here." And see, it hasn't been bad, has it?
No.
Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
See, and you know, but I'm glad you came up.
Well,
I'm glad you both came up today, and share with me and the listeners your story. You know, and your two boys were raised in Cabarrus County?
Yes.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
That's awesome. Tell you, the other one, the older one, the 18-year-old, tell him I'd like to meet him for one.
Oh.
You know, well, and I'll tell you why, because I love artists. And we all, every one of us, and regardless of what people want to argue about, and they'll argue with me, we're all creators.
Yeah.
We're all artists at heart. And that's the key. Why aren't we teaching that? Why aren't we exposing our kids to that? No, we're taking it away.
Yeah.
You know why? Because if you don't critical think, I can control you.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're doing it. And I can't stand it because it stifles our kids, and that's why the suicide rate's off the charts. Yeah. And I'm happy for you that y'all together
23.
23 years, raised two good kids.
Oh.
And, that's what.
But look at it this way, Ray. I give a lot of credit to Tiffany. you know, because
of course you should.
Well, but you know, I'm blind, and so she has to do all of our going to the store and picking things out and driving us everywhere we've ever went. She's been the driver.
But she knew that before she hooked up with you, bud.
That's right.
She signed on. She signed the agreement.
She saw this radio face, and she was ready to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But she liked your values and what you were made of.
I was a little intimidated, though. He said, he mentioned earlier that we were friends for a year before we dated. And I'll be completely honest, I'd never been around visually impaired. It's very intimidating. And, you know, what is that going to mean for us as a couple? What is that going to mean? And so it took a lot. And we were both very, very shy and quiet. So it took a lot of work for both of us, I think.
So name me one thing I don't do that holds my visual impairment holds me back.
Nothing. Okay. Other than driving, there's nothing else.
I got to read this to you.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I got a comment I must share. Okay. Oh, my. It's long. Very inspiring to hear your guest today. My son is legally blind and is finishing school studying computer programming. Nice to hear a great example of someone working through the obstacles to become successful. My son is lined up to work on unnamed helicopters writing computer programs for the controls. Wow. Sometimes we need to just give people a chance and they will surprise you.
Yeah.
You gotta believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
You gotta believe.
Encourage that self-confidence.
Thank you for sharing that. Whoever it was, from 704. Okay, where's the break at? Can you run downstairs real quick? Run downstairs real quick and get Bruce. Okay. By the way, Hacksaw's taking a day off today, folks. You hadn't heard from him. Because normally, you need what you need. You got it? Okay. We got to go get Bruce downstairs and get ready for the next break so we can take a picture. Picture time, Kodak moment. Talk, Philip.
So, Ray, that comment you just had, so one of my things I want to say to that person is continue encouraging your son. And any parents out there can encourage. I tell, and this is true, Tiffany hit the nail on the head. I was so timid and shy, but I found out you got to have self-confidence. And it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. You show yourself as being confident. You show yourself as that you know what you think you know what you're talking about. People are going to follow you and support you and go out of their way to help you. And that's what blind people need to hear, and that's what all of us need to hear, is that support.
It's love.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's putting it simple.
Yeah.
Spreading the love.
Yeah.
Show that you care. You know, and the problem is we don't take enough time because we're all too busy.
Busy doing what? Nothing. At the end of the day, it doesn't add up to anything.
Yeah, we're chasing our tails.
If we don't help each other, we're not doing anything.
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? There's a lot of, and I'm going to say it bluntly, there's a lot of talk out there. Oh, man, how can I help? If I tell you, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you ask the question, how can you help? Help. Show up. They are, right?
That's right.
They are.
So during the pandemic, we didn't have any absenteeism. Blind people wanted to come to work. Even now, these employees still want to come to work. And what aggravates me is you got people standing on the side of the street begging for jobs. And I give them my card and say, hey, call me, come and talk to me. Never hear from them. Don't hear from them at all.
Talk.
So, and I'm not saying everybody's that way, but I'm just telling you what I've experienced.
Right. There's a lot of people that way.
Yeah.
There's more time. It's harder today, and I know I complain a lot, and I don't mean to. Well, you say if you don't mean to, why you do it? Okay. Because I need to. Mr. Zayman's in the house. It's hard today. People commit and really don't take into consideration their own schedules, and if that makes any sense. For example, this week, I called somebody, they signed up for something. They signed, and I can show you. I can pull it up here on my computer screen. They signed up for something. I said, are you ready to go for next week? Well, what do you mean? You got an event next week on Thursday. Oh, God, no, really? Yeah, you do. Well, I got to go make money. I says, wait a minute. Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff I run into all the time. And, you know, we're too busy. And then we're chasing money. And that's really a big part of the problem right now. And I understand it. Believe me, I do. We all got to have money. That's what I told you earlier. It's harder to make ends meet today in business than it's ever been in my career. And you even said it with line services. You thought many times you were going to lose it.
Yeah. So, Ray, I want to say this, because if I don't, it's going to bug me.
Well, go ahead and say it.
Anyone that's blind, has a disability, or any young person out there, don't let anyone tell you that you cannot do something. Here's an example.
Amen,
here's an example for you. Me being blind, I went through public school. I went to a private school that didn't have any accommodations for a blind person. I had to figure it out myself. I got married. I had to find a job, found that. I went and got a master's degree, had two children, had a wife, can't drive. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm the president of a company. I actually run a church behind the scenes, do administrative work. I do ham radio for a club, ham radio club. I'm a dad and a husband. If I can do that, anybody can do it. So don't let anybody tell you you can't do it.
And that's great to hear from you. It's great to hear from anyone this day and time. But I'm going to say something to that fact. Critical thinking, if you don't know how, you're disabled. I'm serious. You're disabled. And I got two men right here, and you will validate that. Am I right or wrong?
That's right, yeah.
If you cannot critical think, you're a disabled human being. And I got another guy sitting over here bobbing his head up and down, too, that's been in the business as long as me. And, you know, and I say that for a reason. And you know what the reason is. Our kids are coming out of high school with no critical thinking skills. Now, not all of them, no, because they got parents at home. They got dads and moms that work with them. But think of all the single kids that don't have it. Excuse me, single parent kids that don't have it. They don't have that, and that's more so than the married ones nowadays. Read the numbers. I'm not talking here. The numbers speak it all. And when you get kids that don't know anything about critical thinking, and it's rampant, it's unbelievable. Now, what's the problem? You figure it out. I can tell you if you want to know. You got to learn to work with your hands and your mind to learn to critical think. You've got to have purpose. You've got to serve. You've got to resolve problems. You got to have issues. We're going to take a picture here in a minute. No, we got it. We got it covered. We got a break coming up. We're going to cover it. This ain't my first rodeo. I've done this before. So, and I bring this up because it's more apparent today than ever before in my life. And over the past 3 weeks, it's really stabbed me in the back big time. It's painful. Oh, I'm gonna endure it just like my brother Philip did with his, you know, issues of life. But if you can do it, but these kids are being cheated, being lied to, and being manipulated, and they're not happy because they can't critically think. So what are we going to do? Let's put tools in schools. You want to?
Let's do it.
We can do that. Just like Philip at Line Services are putting tools in purpose in people's lives that otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity. The blind and visually impaired community of Charlotte. And once again, if you know someone that's visually impaired that needs help, then in any way,
LionServices.org or 704-921-1527.
So, you know, think about it. Now, I want to thank you both for coming in today and sharing all this with me.
You're welcome.
And, Philip, I'm going to have you back in about a year.
That's fine.
And we'll talk about progress.
Ray, thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for the listeners. I appreciate it. And any kind of support you can send our way, we would appreciate it because it goes right back into helping another blind person.
We all need money. We all need money.
It pays the lights.
And if you got a lot, you can just put on puttoolsinschools.org. There's a button there, too. Yep, there's a button. We're going to change some kids' lives. He's changing the blind. I'm changing critical thinking. I'm serious. It's bad. But I'll tell you something. Problem resolution is critical thinking.
Yes.
Failing is critical thinking. If you're not failing, you're not doing.
That's right.
So get up and fail today.
That's right. That's right.
And it might sound a little crazy, but you know what? I see fear of failure more than I see anything else. Man, I want the opportunity to fail. But there's also the wonderful side of that is success. Right, Phil?
That's right. It's like learning a bicycle. You're going to fall down.
Yeah.
You will fall down, but you get right back up and do it again. Like Tiffany says, put your big boy pants on and get up and go.
There you go. For sure. No doubt. Well, I'm going to take an early break here. Can we do that, Mr. Bordop, Mr. Rishton?
Fine with me.
You're just here to play, right?
That's right.
We just
here for the ride.
For the ride. The ride. You know. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to About Your House. Y'all, we enjoyed it. It's a picture, Kodak moment. We got to take a picture. And now that Bruce is here. And I'll have you back. Thank you. Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Tiffany, for
you're
bringing
welcome.
Philip to us this morning. And I appreciate both of you. Rayo wasn't so bad after all, was it?
No.
Kind of fun, isn't it?
I actually liked it, yeah.
That's good to hear. All right, folks, we're going to take a break here. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. And just to tell everybody, we're not on radio anymore. Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live anywhere on your browser. That's that little computer device you have in your hand. FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. Facebook Live. YouTube Live, About Your House radio page. And we forgot Podcast US Radio, PodcastRadioUS.com. We're streaming live there, too. But who knew that? Now you do. We'll be back with more About Your House. Bruce Aidman coming up.
Days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know.
you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal?
Welcome back. Breaks are long today. Talking too much. Step up to the microphone, Mr. Zaidman.
Good morning, Ray.
How you doing?
I'm a little bit of a sore throat. Other than that, I'm great. Thank you.
Sore throat?
Sore throat.
Oh, you got cooties, man.
No.
Get away from me.
No,
I got a great immune system, so I'm good to go. I love your uniform there today.
Well, you like
your hat? You're an American Woodbury face guy, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Among other things.
And the window thing. All right. How long have we known each other?
He just asked me that. Probably about 30. I've been here.
I was saying 30 years.
36 years is when I moved here in 88 and started my business. So probably at least 30 years.
Well, you heard
longer.
About me when I was on BT to start with Nary, back in the Nary days.
Right.
Early days of Nary. Earlier.
When it was good. Yeah. After it was
bad. It's still good.
No. I said when it was good after it was bad, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte really had a bad rap. And let me say that a minute. Back in 1990. The number one complaint with the BBB, the number one complaint was home improvement
Absolutely.
Contractors. You know, siding, window people, remodelers, all that. The number one complaint were home improvement people.
Yep.
And so a group of us got together, 20 of us were at that meeting, 20 companies, and we all decided to do something about it. Literally, that was in the conversation that night. And we all said, because that was part of the reason we were there, we wanted to improve the industry here in Charlotte. And so we said, well, our goal, that was our mission, really, at the very first year, was to change the image of our industry and remove it from the BBB's most complained industry, about industry. And we did it. We did it. And it's never gone back there. So Nary was very effective in raising the bar somewhat in Charlotte, and I was a part of that, and I'm grateful for
that. I remember that.
And you were there too.
In the beginning, yes.
Yes, you were. And you were part of Nary for many years, weren't you?
Yeah, for a while. I'm just not much of a joiner.
I know.
Unfortunately.
Well, I mean.
If I can't make meetings and so forth.
Yeah. If you're not going to be in it to win it, don't go.
Exactly.
I still carry that philosophy. Matter of fact, right now, if you say you want to do something with me or a part of the club or whatever I'm involved with, okay, you want to play? Yeah, put me on the list. All right, you get 3 invites. You don't show up, you're off my list. No offense. I love you. You know, but actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely.
And if you're not active, what'd you sign up for?
You know, what's sad is that all these years later, 30-some years later, 34 years since you started Nary.
Yep.
We're seeing a lot of the same stuff again. Not so much complaints about workmanship, but price gouging in the industry is...
Not only price gouging, Bruce, you're a quality-oriented home improvement guy. Everything you've done, you've based it on quality, integrity, and the work ethic and all that.
100%.
I know. And that's why you're sitting here today, because if you weren't that way, I wouldn't have called you. Matter of fact, you kind of exude the image that this industry should be about, and you just said it. If I can't be at a meeting, why join? You know, and you don't market any. to speak up.
Well, my kitchen remodeling business, we do.
Well, you market some, but it's not crazy. Extensive. I mean,
exactly.
You're not really hard and hit. You're not a marketing machine.
Right, right. And it's funny because there's an old, I've had this conversation. I consult with young people just getting in the business sometimes. They ask me questions, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that?
Sure.
And I said, well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Because when you start out, you have to market. When I came here,
You got to develop a reputation.
I came here in '88, broke, and you know, started a business from nothing. I had to go out knocking on doors back then. My wife and I would literally go out and knock on doors, what they call canvassing, which some companies still do today.
Cold calls.
And it was effective. We built a nice business very quickly. That was when I had my initial window and siding company, and didn't have any money for marketing. Period. But as I got into it and we started being more successful and so forth, and the company grows and you need to grow the company, then you have to market and then you have to get leads. And the thing I say a lot of times to these people when I talk to them, I ask them a question. I remember there's a guy getting into the closet business, you know, redoing closets.
Oh yeah.
He says, well, you know, give me some hints. I said, well, first of all, let me ask you a question. What business are you in? He says, well, I'm in the closet business. I says, no, you're not. He says, well, what do you mean? I says, you're in the lead generating business. You're in the marketing business because it all starts with the lead. If you don't get the lead, you can't see customers. So your mindset has to be that I need to generate leads. Now, how do you do that? There's different ways of doing that. I've been in business so long, 36 years.
Right.
The bulk of my business now, my kitchen business, probably 80% is referrals, repeat customers, designers, other contractors.
Reputation.
Reputation. My window business, it's kind of guerrilla marketing. I do no marketing. 100% of my window business and door business is referrals, repeat customers. We sell a kitchen to somebody. We find out they're getting quotes on windows. It's 100% of that business is referral-based or repeat customer-based. But see companies spending millions of dollars a year in the industry. And the unfortunate part, and we talked about this on the phone the other day, is that when a homeowner purchases a product and they're paying primarily for the cost of the marketing and high commissions and huge overhead, you know, they're not really getting much of a value. They're not paying for the product. They're paying for all the ancillary expenses that go along to getting that home.
Right.
And that's what we talked about the other day. It's shocking as some of the things I'm
seeing. And our industry
out there
is loaded with that kind of stuff. You know, you said earlier in the conversation here about, you know, problems are, you know, not all about labor. I mean, the quality. Well, I disagree. Because you're a quality guy. Okay, you know what quality is, and you deliver that. There's your reputation. However, there's been no time in my career that I've seen the stupid like it is right now. And that's dealing with quality, communication, service delivery, punctuality, cleanliness, professionalism. Never been lower than it is right now. And why? Why, Bruce?
Well,
come on, tell
because
me.
Because the old timers are going away.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that have 20, 30, 40 years of experience, as I'm talking about in the installation part of it. That's probably the hardest part. The trade guys. It is so hard. We talked earlier in the week, and, you know, I got really lucky. I got a really great new carpenter that came on board about 2 or 3 months ago, and he fell in my lap. He and his wife lived up in Ohio where my daughter lives, and they were very good friends with my daughter. And they wanted to move to Charlotte for some reason. I'm not sure why, but they wanted to move to Charlotte.
Oh, everybody wants to move to Charlotte.
So
when you come here, I just love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the wife's cousin lives here, and that's how they knew about it. And she said, told me about him. You know, he's 50 years old. He's
50. I was going to say, how old is he?
Yeah, he's an ex-Marine, Air Force. I'm sorry, he was in the Air Force and been doing this for many years. And he's one of these guys, rare guys that can do everything well.
Sure.
That's tough today.
Yeah, it is.
So,
damn near impossible.
He came down. I interviewed him. I hired him on the spot. He came. They moved here a month or so later.
Right.
But to go out and try and find, we've got signs on our vans and trucks, you know, and the hiring and so forth. So we have to do, kind of like what you're doing with tools and schools, we find young guys that are hungry to learn, We hire them as helpers for a decent wage.
Sure.
And they'll work for us for a year, 2 years, 3 years until they really get good at specific. But we're very specific about what we do. We're not asking them to learn how to do everything.
They ain't framing a house.
They ain't framing a house. Remodeling kitchens, cabinet refacing, custom cabinetry, and so forth, installing cabinets. And they get very good at it. And then they moved into the position, if they have the integrity, they're good with people, they show up every day with a good attitude, they're not druggies, they're alcoholics, they have a good appearance, they're clean, all the things that you're looking for.
Sure.
And if they meet all those virtues, then we put them in a position of a lead carpenter, and they have a helper that they train. And I've got 32 employees now, and of those, most of them are carpenters in the field.
Right.
You know.
And they were taught by other carpenters in the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're making damn good livings.
Yep.
They almost all have bought houses.
Yeah.
Some of them, wives don't have to work. They're raising kids.
Yep.
Some of them surprised me. We had one guy, when Jim Gobetti, my installation manager in Charlotte for my kitchen remodeling, American Wood Reface, I have to get a plug in there.
We'll get more.
He said he was going to advance him to be a lead carpenter. And this guy was, at the time, he's probably about 28 years old. Real nice guy. Really good as a helper. And I looked at him and I said, are you sure he's ready? He said, I really think he is. Man, he has surprised me. He is fantastic. The customers love him. His work's impeccable. He never complains. Got a great work ethic. And he just bought a new house and so forth. So it's tough. That's probably the hardest part. And everybody you talk to, everybody in our industry, remodeling in general, has the same issues. It's finding good people.
Yeah, Bruce called me about a year and a half ago. He said, Ray, could I advertise on your show for carpenters? I laughed at him. I laughed. I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can waste your money. You know, waste your money because the shelves are empty. The stock room is bare. Yeah. There is no more. And that's the truth. And it, to this very day, people say, we're going to have. No, we're not going to have. It's here.
Yeah.
The problems are here. They're here today. And it's affecting quality, delivery, everything. And that's what put Tools in Schools
is all
about.
Something else that you and I have talked about many times over the years.
Well, we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
I got to take a break here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's break time. We got to take a top of the hour break here. Move into the third hour of About Your House right here on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Share it with your friends, your neighbors, your aunts, your brothers, cousins, and all that stuff. Fox Sports Charlotte, Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte.com. Facebook Live, YouTube Live. There you go. And there's more, but we'll leave it at that. That's plenty. You can find us. Just Google About Your House Radio. We'll be back with more.
Or Beasley Media Group.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for Hour 3. Bruce Zaidman of American Wood Reface in the house. Been in the industry over 30 years, so lots of valuable information coming your way. So stay tuned. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org. Connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
The older I get, the
before I think. You only get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have.
All right, welcome back. Two About Your House. Got Bruce Aidman, American Wood Reface, and Carefree Remodeling. Been in the industry a long time, 30-something years.
Actually, been in the industry 40 years, had my own business for 36.
Right. What all businesses have you had in the home improvement business?
Well, primarily, initially.
Yeah.
Go back. When I moved
to
here
the
in
beginning.
88, I came here and found out he was a total crook. So I
said, do I know him?
You may have.
Okay, go ahead.
So I quit after 3 months, and what do we do? Go back to Ohio, get a job selling for somebody else, or start my own business. I had been for several years by that point. I said, well, let's give it a shot. I like Charlotte. See what we can
do. Well, okay, let's back up. You like Charlotte. You're here. Okay, I'm going to skip something here a minute. Why'd you come to Charlotte? Because you're an Ohio boy.
I need a change in my life.
And why Charlotte?
Because somebody I knew from Akron, Ohio, that I had met up there, had business here, and he made me a proverbial offer I couldn't refuse.
Okay.
He enticed me to come down and work for him.
Gotcha.
Sounded like a good opportunity. I was, you know, things happen
for a reason.
A lot of reasons.
Sure.
That didn't work out, but it opened up the next door for me.
Okay, now we're at the next door.
Next door. So I started a company called Window World and Siding Company.
Remember it well.
Back in 88. Got started knocking again. I had no money. I came here pretty much broke, flat broke. I literally have more in my wallet today than I had when I moved here. And started knocking on the door with my wife, got a few leads. I found out something very quickly.
Did you have any kids then?
I did, yeah. I had four kids.
You had four kids when you moved to Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep talking.
They were in Ohio. They're in Ohio. My plan was not to be here forever. My plan was to be here, make some money, and go back. Well, I'm still here.
Yeah, I noticed.
my second son Ben, he's what, 40? How old is he now? About 44 or 45 now. He lives in Bluffton, South Carolina. He runs our location down the Hilton Head area for our cabinet facing business. And I got a stepson here that works for me, sells for me here in Charlotte. But anyway, so it didn't work out. So I started the company, started knocking on doors, and I found out something very quickly. People in the South, more so than the North, when you do a good job for them, you're honest, you treat them right, you do a good job at a fair price, the referrals came in so fast that within a year, I was out of debt and doing pretty darn well. And we grew the business over the years, started doing other things. I built garages, additions, sunrooms, porches, decks, some kitchens. Pretty much anything people needed, because we did. In 2000, started doing the cabinet refacing with this company out of Ohio, American Wood Reface. A buddy of mine started literally 40 years ago this year. He started the company, and I became his dealer here, his only dealer. He developed this solid wood process, quarter inch solid wood refacing with Amish made doors, mm-hmm. and so forth. The best in the industry. We advertise America's finest cabinet refacing system, and I defy anybody to question that. So in 2003, somebody came along and offered to buy my window and siding business, which it wasn't for sale at the time, but they made me, again, the offer. When they say the offer is too good to be true, it usually is.
And I know who bought it.
Yeah, you do.
I know them very well.
They ran it in the ground.
Yeah, sure did.
They went out of business.
They ran several in the ground.
After 35 years in business and should have owned this town, they closed it down last year. And
I hate to say that. I really did. Because
no, I did too. It was a great company when I had it. But
I hate it because of people that lost their jobs and had to
leave. One of the people lost her job. She works for me now. I hired her initially 25 years ago, and she now was my part-time bookkeeper at my company. So I had a 6-year no compete in the window and siding business. So I didn't do anything. And then 2009, when it was up, I quietly started. People were calling me all the time about doing work for them. So I started selling windows and doors. I don't do much siding anymore. Too hard to find good installers.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the biggest reason. So, but I built the cabinetry facing business into a pretty. We're in quite a few cities now. We're in, of course, the Charlotte.
Where are you?
Charlotte metro region, upstate South Carolina. We have a Sherman, Kernersville. We cover the Triad area, Pinehurst, Southern Pines. I just sold 2 jobs in Cary, North Carolina, and we have a big location in Hardeeville, South Carolina, which is. We service the Savannah to Beaufort, low country.
Okay. So your American Wood Reface, what's it do?
Well, we started basically a refacing company.
Yeah, I know.
You know, 24 years ago.
That's taking an existing kitchen, existing cabinets.
Right.
And revamping to some degree, minor degree, or heavy duty degree, like you want a new island. I'm sure they can do that for it, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But he started out. Just taking existing cabinetry, refacing them.
With the quarter-inch solid wood.
And new doors. New
doors, drawer fronts, all moldings.
Right, all the molding. New kitchen. New, aesthetically, you go in, it's a new kitchen.
You pick your door style, your wood species.
And I have to add one thing. He did not do the electrical. You had to get your electrician to come in there and put a lighting package in there.
Correct.
I bring this up because, to me... If you do your kitchen and you don't put a lighting package in, you're wasting your money. That's just Ray Terry talking.
Yeah.
But you can disagree or agree. I don't care. But and I just went in the kitchen. I got to take a little side street here. Guy, a listener, he's probably listening right now. He called me up on the radio. Says, you know, I'm interested in upfitting my kitchen and doing some things, whatever. And I says, well, it depends on what you're able to do. He wanted to do it himself. Which, matter of fact, you've been in the house. You gave him a price. Because we talked about it.
But was that a couple years ago?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah.
Because one, I was on the show and I did do a kitchen from somebody listening.
Well, you didn't do this kitchen.
Okay.
But he just took it upon himself to do some handiwork and stuff, and did a great job. They put new granite on there, new backsplash, really spruced up. The one problem. You couldn't see it. I walked in the kitchen. I said, well, this one's an easy one. All you need to do is put a lighting in here because you'll see a new kitchen because you can't see it. And literally, you could not see his kitchen in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
There were some lights, but...
We see that a lot.
That's why I brought it up.
My kitchen at home, when I bought my house, built in 1980.
Sure.
And it has dark wood cabinets.
Sure.
And we had one center light.
Three bulb light
in the middle of the ceiling, and it was awful. So I put in can lights in there, and oh my gosh,
changed the whole kitchen.
How did anybody live like this?
Exactly.
And I lived like that for I think 3 or 4 years before I did it. It's amazing.
Well, I told this couple get an electrician, a good one, because fishing lights on a 2-story house sometimes can be a little choppy, a little drywallish.
Yeah.
But I asked him, I said, have you ever repaired drywall? He said, yeah, I can do that. I said, well, that's the only caveat to the story because you may have to. And he said, okay, I can buy it. But anyway, they're going to go in there and light that kitchen. But you, at first, I said at first, because what are you doing now?
Well, in the kitchen business?
Yeah.
The industry has changed. You know, HGTV and these people see all these ideas and so forth.
TV's blown down to water.
It's very rare that we go in. It used to be we'd go in, a kitchen was 1 to 3 days, reface, might make a couple minor modifications, changing lower doors to pot drawers or, adding. But now it's about 90% of the kitchens we do. There's some major modifications. Stacking cabinets to the ceiling is a big one. Custom island, moving the stove or the refrigerator to different locations. So it's a combination of custom cabinets, which we have a wood shop in Matthews where we build our own boxes. And
you got a cabinet shop.
We got a cabinet shop in the back, and almost every job we do, we're building cabinets for. So it's we're now a custom kitchen company. We also carry a couple lines of stock cabinets. where somebody wants a, you know, something nice. We're getting ready to do it next week, a rental house in Gaffney, South Carolina. One of my previous customers in Charlotte, they're renting the house. Didn't want to spend a lot of money. Got a beautiful line of new cabinets. We'll be in there 2 days in and out. But the refacing now is not refacing anymore. It's custom kitchens. Some of it's refacing the whole thing.
You would do that. I mean, that's a sector of the business.
Yeah.
And our, a niche.
And people say, well, what, you know, what price home? I said, we've done $100,000 condos and $5 million homes. Yeah, the quality is that good. And the prices, like I said, it's affordable enough for, well, today there's no $100,000, but $200,000 home. But the quality is good enough to be in a $5 million home. We just finished one in Providence Country Club, a $3 million home. We replaced every single piece of cabinetry in that house, all 100% custom. Two laundry rooms, four bathrooms, kitchen. I mean, it's beautiful. It took us quite a while because the lady kept changing her mind about things and changing things up, but it came out really nice. And there's, you know, several million-dollar house.
Gotcha.
So it's a great option. We see a lot of situations where people want a lot, but they don't want to spend a lot. We've got options for it, you know. And then we do countertops. I really like quartz countertops. I don't think you can beat the product. We do a lot of countertops. We have a great Ukrainian gentleman does beautiful tile work and backsplashes. We do a little bit of bathroom remodeling. Just finished one up for a previous kitchen customer. Actually finished it yesterday. It's funny, Ray. We get a lot of people that just, if you live in Charlotte and you have a summer home, matter of fact, one of the people that's on the other radio station is a realtor, has a show on there. We did his house several years ago in Matthews, and he bought a house in Fripp Island. We did his house there. Now he's moved in this year, he moved to River Hills, and we're doing his third house for him in River Hills. But if you live in the Hilton Head area, or you live here and you've got a condo in the Hilton Head area or a second home there, we can help you out there as well.
You do a lot of work in Hilton Head, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's an unbelievable market. It's been almost no marketing there. It's our biggest market.
Well, Hilton Head is a niche market, too.
It's crazy. You take Sun City, Hilton Head, you can't walk a block. I haven't done three or four kitchens.
So Sun City's big to you.
Oh, yeah. And we're doing quite a bit in Indian Land here, too. Now, it's not as old, but we're doing quite a bit.
The funny thing is, Sun City's not that old.
Well, the fallacy is, you know, there's a... it kind of took me by surprise when I first got into the business. We do brand new houses, brand new. People buy a house, they just don't like the kitchen.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed
and,
that.
And we'll go in there, and the layout's fine, but they want to go to the ceiling, or they're cherry and they want white, or they're white and they want cherry, whatever it might be. And the countertops are okay in many cases, so you don't want to rip those out. So it's shocking at how many newer homes we do. When I say newer, I'm saying less than 10 years old, and we're redoing the kitchens.
There's a gated community down in Weddington. The house wasn't 5 years old. Couple million-dollar house.
Yeah.
I went in the kitchen, and I was sent down there to direct them on how we're going to ventilate this kitchen because we couldn't put a vent hood in because of certain things, so we had to go downdraft. So I went in there, and I says, what's wrong with this kitchen?
Exactly. Listen.
This is a brand-new house. This kitchen's... My God, look at this kitchen. And we're going to gut it? Yeah, we're going to gut it. We don't like this. We're going... Anyway.
Ray, if it's happened to you once, having 100... I've walked into kitchens. I'll never forget one down in Clover, South Carolina. And I walked in this kitchen, beautiful home. And I walked this kitchen, and I'm looking at it. So I said to him, why am I here? What don't you like?
Yeah, right. Well, why am I here?
It's cheery. It's got the raised panel rope. I don't like that. I want the caps to go to the ceiling. We want white with a gray island, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And we did, and it's beautiful. The new kitchen's old. But honestly, some people would like the old kitchen better.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got different tastes.
Well, it is, and if you can afford it, you get what you want. Welcome to Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid money. Yeah. I don't talk anybody out of it.
Right.
I have talked some people out of it, honestly.
Well, I talked that guy out of doing his kitchen.
Yeah.
I said, I would just, if I've attacked anything in your kitchen, cabinet-wise, it'd be around the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
just make better use of that space. But other than that, no.
We have a customer. We did two houses for him in Hilton Head. I mean, when I'm talking 6,000-7,000 square foot homes. Back in when it was in 15 and 16 in 2016, and that's when I was running appointments there myself. I'd go down there every other week.
Sure.
I had a place there, and they called back. They moved to Cary, North Carolina, so I went there Wednesday and saw them, and it was a nice looking cherry kitchen. There was nothing wrong with the kitchen, but they had a 42-inch Sub-Zero built in. They wanted a 48-inch. So she sent me the specs on it yesterday. That new refrigerator, they spent as much on a refrigerator and a 30-inch full-height beverage cooler of $30,000 for those two pieces.
Yeah, right. Right. I walked in a kitchen one time.
I couldn't believe it.
The range, $75,000 from Europe. I looked at the thing and said, whoa, that looks like a piece of jewelry. Wow. It's amazing, though. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back talking to Bruce Zaidman, American Wood Reface, Carefree Remodeling. And we could say, what's the remodeling about? Well, he just told you. Were you listening? So he's got you covered. Bruce Zaidman, we'll be right back.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. I'm a writer.
All right, welcome back. Bruce Zaidman's in the house, American Wood Reface. Pineville. Pineville.
Oh, Pineville.
What's in Pineville?
Oh, Southern Lion?
Yeah. Speak to the mic.
Well, the Black Lion, which was over in Park Road for years, the old Kmart building there, wonderful source for designers and decorators and individual booths. We had a display in there for about 10 years. And they sold the building to Trine Medical Partners. So they just shut it down. There was a woman in town here, Sonia Nichols, wonderful woman. And she thought, that's a shame. So she wound up leasing the entire Sears store over at Carolina Place Mall and reopened it last fall as Southern Lion. They have the whole entire lower floor of Sears.
It must be Lion Day or something.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And it's beautiful. If you haven't been there.
The
whole downstairs. It's huge. We have two displays there. They have a designer house. We have an entire kitchen in there with appliances and island with our stock cabinetry and countertops. Then we'll eventually going to have three booths. Right now we have one. We're working on it. In the main part of it, where we have our cabinet refacing materials, different doors and finishes, and countertops. The next booth that's going to be coming in shortly will be just countertops alone. And we'll have a third booth that will be accessories, pullouts, trash pullouts, slide outs,
cabinet
hoods,
accessories,
hoods, floating shelves. And we're going to use that as kind of a showroom, because we don't have a big showroom at our location.
Right, that's why
Matthews.
I brought it up. Yeah,
exactly. We're more of a working shop and corporate office in Matthews.
I got you. So you got a showroom down at Southern Line.
Southern Line.
I need to
big
go
gold building. You can't miss it. It's on the Dillard's.
The old Sears. Yeah.
It's on the Dillard's backside lower level. Also, they're opening up Sears. Give them a free plug here. Remember the old Metrolina Expo?
Yeah.
Where they had the weekend. Antiques and Collectibles?
Yes. They,
up north?
They
north
closed,
in,
it. Yeah,
closed
I,
it down
I
years
live,
ago?
I live 2 miles from there.
Okay. Well, they're opening the upstairs hopefully soon, and I think they said
upstairs,
November.
Oh, in Sears.
In
okay.
Sears, yeah. The old Sears. Up above the Southern Lion, it's going to be Metro Lion Expo, L-I-O-N. And it's going to be open the first weekend of the month, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're looking for vendors, antiques and collectibles. Very reasonable rent, by the way. I don't work for them, but I'm just giving, I like the people, so I'm giving them a free plug here. So it's going to be Metro Lion Expo. If you have antiques and collectibles you want to sell. And something cool they're doing, it's different, is you go in there on the weekend, you don't have to pull your stuff out. You can pay a little bit more rent, and you can leave it there until the next show. So you don't have to drag it
right,
in and out.
Right.
So we're looking forward to that.
Gotcha. Okay, you're an old fellow like me. We've been around in the industry quite some time.
2 months apart in age.
Yep, we're both 73, essentially. And home shows. Let's talk about home shows a minute.
Oh, boy.
Somebody hit me. Well, you and I can talk about them because we go back.
Yeah.
I was on the advisory board at Southern Shows for probably 15 years at least.
Well, you know, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Joan Zimmerman.
Yeah.
She helped with Southern Lions.
Oh, really?
She was there for the grand opening. She was instrumental in getting that going as well.
That's good. That's a good lady for the job.
She's 90 years old now.
Wow. I'd like to see
Joan.
That's amazing.
Good.
Yeah, sweet lady.
Yeah.
I'll never forget her walking up to me in the old convention center. And you're probably saying, what are you talking about, old convention center? Well, we had another convention center at one time. Anyway, and I go back that far in home shows. Well, point to the conversation. Home shows used to be killer.
They did.
Used to be dynamite marketing machines.
Absolutely.
I love meet some home shows. It's like entertainment weekend or week,
right,
whichever,
right,
you know. And then here come the internet. And when the internet took a hold with TV and media and internet, home shows tanked.
Well, they really tanked because of COVID. It was the worst. But give you an example. I started doing home shows in 89.
Yep.
I came here in 88, started doing them in 89. And we used to do really well with them.
Oh, they were great.
It was up and down. You know, sometimes hit or miss. You'd have one good one not so good. But they're always and people ask me, how'd you do it at the home show? I said, I'll tell you in about 6 months.
Right.
Maybe a year.
Sometimes it takes that long.
Because people pick up literature. They call you back 6 months later, a year later. We sold jobs 2-3 years after the fact. But they're always generally pretty good. Then they started getting, you know, instead of getting 30 or 40, 50 leads during a show, we were getting 20. Then it was 15. Then it was 10. The last couple we did.
You barely saw people.
4 or 5. A lot of empty spots.
Yep.
Aisles were dead.
Yep.
You'd be packing up early. All the vendors bitching like crazy. We used to do a full-blown booth with beautiful cabin styling.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We used to go all out at home shows.
A year ago, last fall, I said, you know, it's a Greensboro home show. And Tim Bowen, my rep up there, he's lives over in Kernersville, and we have a showroom in Kernersville that he handles as well. Wonderful guy. Been with me for quite a few years. He used to be my countertop installer, the big old Southern redneck.
Right. Gotcha.
But a dear friend of mine. I mean, he became my salesman several years ago, and just does a killer job up there. So he talked me into doing a spring home show in Winston-Salem. And I tell the story because it's unbelievable. We'd never been there before, never done any business. And I did something different. I had a little 10x10 booth for cabinets. I said, Tim, we're going to do something. We're going to set the leads here at the show. And at that time, he wasn't working for me at his own countertop company, but we did it together. I said, I set 12 appointments, and he and I went on them together, and we sold every single appointment. I went 12 for 12, which
wow,
is unbelievable.
That's awesome. Yeah,
did have one cancel, and then we sold 3 or 4 after that.
So you
that.
Really did well at that home
we
show.
We sold like 15 kitchens off that home show.
That's good.
Now you don't even talk to 15 people during a whole show.
Well,
so we're not doing them anymore. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and I found them completely worthless.
Yeah,
because I was asked to do this show remote. From a home show. I says, why? you know, well, for production, for marketing, for it don't work no more. Yeah. It doesn't work.
And they keep trying to make them work. The booth prices are going up and up and up, and you're seeing less and less and less.
And the Ideal Home Show here in town was in the fall for years, and it was great.
It was fantastic.
It was unbelievable. And then
it was three different rooms. Parts of the building.
Yeah, it was full.
And they had the...
Southern Christmas show.
They had the gardens, and they had the hardscapes, and it was a destination. Now it's down to one, and no one comes.
No one comes to them. So I bring this up because you and I, we go way back. We've enjoyed the heydays of home shows, but they're gone. There are no more home shows. And there's two. There's one scheduled in late January, February, down at the Convention Center that's absolutely worthless.
It's sad because it is sad, and I hate saying that. I hate doing them because they're a hassle. You know, you got to take a day to set them up, a day to break them down.
And then you got to furnish a staff in the booth.
Be there all weekend, and sometimes they were, you know, remember when they were 10-day home show?
But I had a ball at them. I have to admit, I was there almost the whole day and then some.
Me too.
And, you know, and it was just a great, but, and I miss them.
Yeah.
They were fun.
Well, it's sad because marketing is very expensive, and... They were, you know, when you got 15, 20, 30 leads, it didn't hurt that you spent $1,200 for a booth or double if you had a double booth, whatever it was. And you only had to do, you know, one or two, a job to pay for that, and everything else was gravy. So it was great. It's like the old Yellow Pages. I used to spend in the mid-90s, I was spending $5,000 a month in the Yellow Pages.
Richton doesn't even know what the Yellow Pages are. Oh, you do? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were this thick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 3 inches thick.
Right.
Now they're about a quarter of an inch thick.
Yeah. Yellow Pages.
And we did well off the Yellow Pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
but now it's all internet.
Everything's turned technology.
I don't think my phone number's in the Yellow Pages anymore.
Now let's go another direction here. Window replacement. We're going to piss some people off now. Yeah, we are. It ain't like I hadn't done it before. There's a big money grab business right there. You got a lot of, and back to the point I made earlier where the remodeling and home improvement industry got a bad name. Well, it's still hanging around in just different sectors of the industry. And window replacement, to me, is one of those cash cows and money grabs in the home improvement industry that I've said openly on the show many times. Sometimes window replacement isn't even necessary, and you think they're bad, and they're not bad. But anyway, and then it goes from there. But
well, I could disagree with you a little bit.
Of course you can, and you would. But,
you know, people look at their windows, oh, these are fine, but they've got either single-pane glass with a storm window is not very efficient.
Well, in that's case, yes.
Or there's maintenance to them. You got to paint them. They might be leaking air. They may... they're not insulated well. There's lousy windows. You can't tilt them to clean. You know, one of my pet peeves is the builders using single-hung windows.
Oh, yeah.
Telling the customer, oh, these are tilt windows. Well, yeah, you can tilt the bottom, but you got to go outside to clean the top sash. That drives me crazy. And there are a lot of very cheap windows being put in homes brand new today.
Yes, there are.
So,
junk, actually. Just junk.
Just garbage. So the problem is... But these companies are charging when I say outrageous prices, I'm talking 2 to 3 times what they're tech really worth. But they don't have a choice because they're spending. You see these ads. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm just
marketing saying, machines.
They're marketing machines, and they send literally millions of dollars a year in advertising. Then they have.
And who do you think is going to pay for that advertising?
They have high pressure salesmen that come into your home that they know if they don't make the sale, they don't get paid. The lead goes back to the house, the company. Somebody else rehashes it at a lower price, and they're cut out of it, so they got to make the sale. So very high, very strong closing tactics they use. You know, a job's not worth $20,000 at 6 o'clock at night, and it's worth $25,000 at 4 o'clock. It's just ridiculous. So they have
to... It's like a timeshare appointment.
Exactly. They have to charge these high prices... Or they can't stay in business. They're just too much overhead. But you're not paying for the window and installation of the window. It doesn't matter if you're selling a $3,000 window or a $500 window. If it's the same opening, the installation cost is the same.
Yep.
Okay. The window might cost a little more, but the insulation is the same. So that's a given. So
and to a craftsman, I'm going to say this, to a person, well, like me, because I've done a few houses myself of window replacements. And to a guy that knows how to replace windows in today's market, it's not hard.
The hardest part is if you're doing the trim work on the outside, that's the brake work, what they call that's the hardest
part
of
it. It's the
brake
work and the trim work. It's the detail work. Right. Actually, yeah,
and that's with anything. It's always the detail work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the craftsmanship.
Right.
But it's still not exorbitant.
No.
And, you know, it's a system.
You can teach a guy
a
few months to be a good window
installer. I replaced the whole house in a day. Okay.
We used to figure about 10 windows a day, 12. Two guys knew what they were doing, 10, 12 windows in a day.
But
that's two men.
And that, granted, like back to your point, it's not as much as they're charging.
No.
It's not worth that. And so therefore, you're replacing windows today with Carefree Remodeling, right?
Right.
And you're doing it by referrals only.
Referrals only.
And do you replace doors?
Yes, I do.
So you would do that now?
Yes, always.
Okay,
have.
I could refer you because Roger Freeman's kind of, you know, Roger.
Yeah,
I felt like you got to know Roger.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I drink beverages with him occasionally.
The
Roger's
door,
a great guy, but Roger's going away.
Is he really?
Well, not quickly.
Yeah.
But he's going away.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to do this anymore, and he's not going to. And you know what? One of his reasons is same as yours. Can't find the help.
Yeah. Hear it a lot.
You hear it every day.
Listen, I had an installer that I hired at my old company in 1992.
Yes.
Okay, Wayne Query. He was 38 years old when I hired him.
What?
I mean, he's 70 now.
Is he still working?
He still works. I can't put him on big two or three-story houses anymore.
Right, I understand.
He can do lower, you know, if it's a ranch or it's got one or two windows upstairs because he's got a helper, but he can hardly get up and down a ladder,
right.
So he does all the brake work. He's wonderful,
sure.
Does a fantastic job. So I had to find another crew here, which I have now. And they have four or five guys on a crew. They're younger and can do a good. They do a great job. I just did one in Raintree. Did a wonderful job for the customer. That was an interesting one. The guy had three quotes. We sold him. My son, my son Jim Firth, he's my works for me, sold him a kitchen. And he was mentioning getting quotes on windows and how high they were. He said, you need to talk to my dad. So he called me up and went over and saw him. I showed him my window. The windows I sell are every bit as good as anybody else's on the market, if not better. And I gave him a quote, and he had 26 windows. And the lowest price he had for a vinyl replacement window, white, with grids, mullions, simple installation, you know, cap
sure.
on the outside and
sure.
all that, nothing fancy, was over $1,000 a window.
Good gosh.
And the highest was over $2,000. The average around $1,500, $1,600 a window. Those are the same windows, right? We used to sell for $400 or $500. Okay. Now, granted, windows cost a lot more than they did 20
sure.
years
oh,
ago.
Absolutely.
And labor's doubled from what it used to be. But I gave him a price. He was able to do all 26 windows in the house. And my price was half of the average price of what he was getting quotes for. Because I just don't have the overhead. And it's not fair because I'm not spending money advertising. I'm not paying anybody. I sell all the windows myself. 40 years I've been doing that. And I don't have any overhead because my cabinet, we do over 300 kitchens a year. My overhead's covered.
Right.
My office manager, my warehouse is paid. Exactly. So I don't have those expenses. That's how I can do it. It's kind of like the old days when firemen used to do stuff on the side.
Right.
And they can beat anybody's price
because
they would sell them. They would do them themselves. And, boy, you couldn't compete against them because they had no overhead.
Right.
And they'd make money doing the installs. Well, you don't see that anymore, but it's kind of like that. So it's kind of unfair in a way to say it, but when you're charging,
why is it unfair?
This company's charging $3,000 for a window.
I've said many, 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 many years now, openly, the window market is a cash cow business.
Always has been.
And exactly. It's probably the worst. And they will use every tactic in the world to sell you. And it's just crazy. It's almost as bad as crawl space encapsulation.
I have a
between the two of them, I'm not sure which one's the biggest money grab.
I have a friend who, let's say who it is, his son. I was talking to Bill, you know who it is, and his son, he told me his son's working for a new window, and they do bath remodeling and windows.
Right.
And they're new in the area, and I'd seen him on Facebook, because the only place I knew about him. So I said, I want to talk to him. I'm curious about them. So I got him on the phone. We talked for a good hour. And it's the typical hard sell. You get the lead for one day. If you don't sell it, you got to turn it back in. They're sending him 2-3 hours away on appointments.
Oh, man, that's
and
crazy.
It's just burning them out. They burn them and churn them. They have a revolving door of salespeople.
And that's insanity. I'm sorry. That just doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. So I said, Will, let me ask you a question. How much do you have to get for a window? He said, we have $2,500 a window. I said, okay. The worst thing that can happen to a salesman in the business is knowing what the stuff costs. I said, well, I'm telling you something. I know you come from a Christian family, and I want you to be able to sleep at night. You're ripping people off. And he said, how much of that's financed? He's about 80%. I said, exactly, because people can't afford it.
Good Lord.
If you got to finance the project like that, I says, if you want to sleep with yourself at night, you don't want to work for a company like that. I'm not going to say who it was, but he's still with them.
I know.
Last time I talked.
I know. It's crazy, I'm telling you. But, hey, it's your checkbook. I'm not telling you what to do. You know, and I tell some people that all day. I said, if you want it, fine, but you don't need it.
The longer the salesman stays in the house, which sometimes is 4 or 5 hours trying
to save
his windows, the more the price is going to be. I'm typically, I measure, I'm in and out in an hour or so.
Right.
You know,
right.
Showing my product, give him a little background, figure out the price right then and there. And I've always had what I call my lowest price first guarantee. I've done that for 36 years. If I need $10,000 for a job, I'm going to ask you for $10,000. I'm not going to start at 20 and see if you had Sears out at the time. They were twice. You know, you talk
play
about
the game.
Sears is gone, so I can talk about them now. Siding business.
Right.
We had Sears out. I said, tell you what, whatever they quoted you, I'll do it for half, sight unseen. And I was making money. That's how high they were. Windows, same thing.
Oh, I know. Well, Sears is the first one that tried direct install sales.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't dealing with Sears. That was the problem.
I know.
They licensed other companies, and those companies paid them, I think it was 18% off the top.
The big box stores tried it, too.
They still do it.
The big box stores still do it, and it's the same racket, different store.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the window replacement.
After I sold my last window company back in 21 years ago, I actually thought about getting, and we talked about this, getting the consulting business, because I was so upset with what I was seeing in the industry, and I was going to just mark myself as a window and siding consultant, not there to sell you anything.
Sure.
But to walk you through the process,
sure.
Charge you a small fee.
Information.
Keep you from getting ripped off.
Exactly. It's what I do.
People are getting ripped off every day.
And it's what I do quite frequently with people is go out and just talk. Look, check it out, see what's what, and just tell them what I think.
I'll relate a quick story to you. National company. You got a minute?
Nope, don't have one.
Okay.
But I'll get it when we come back. Come back to it. Then I'm going to bring you up to date on Put Tools in Schools. Got some events coming up. I want to talk about it. 704-227-8986. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Join us every Saturday. Just download the free app. Stream us live. By far the best way to hear it. For now, though, we're going to take a break. We'll be back to wrap this show up and end it with Bruce Aidman, American Wood Reface, and Carefree Remodeling.
Jesus in America too. She's a good girl. She's crazy about Elvis. Loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard. And I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
All right, welcome back. We got a caller, so let's get to the phones. Got about 10, 12 minutes here. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm great, Ray. How are you?
I am good, thank you, sir. How could we
I wanted to call in a gentleman that you have on the show. Kind of caught my ear, and I don't know if you recall, but I spoke to you over the weekend about 6 months ago about a squirrel issue.
Yeah.
And you referred me to a gentleman, I think it was Songbird.
Andrew Cole. He was on the phone.
Yes.
He was on the show 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. I had, for your listeners out there, a little plug for him. I have tried two different animal control companies who will remain nameless. But Daniel came over to my place. He spent, maybe a week there, you know, setting traps, doing this, doing that. Totally eliminated the issue. I was just blown away by this guy's level of expertise. But that, I wanted to thank you for that mostly. But really what I'm calling about is the gentleman you have on now talking about the window situation. I'd like to speak to this guy or get his info. I have some potential work for him, but I have two things. I have a kitchen situation that I'd like to have him take a look at or speak to him about, and I also have a sunroom area in which I need to replace the windows there. And in my home, I have Marvin windows, which are, you know, they're a nice window, but I have one it's got some sort of gas issue. You know, it's kind of foggy.
Oh, yeah, it's foggy. The seals leak. Yep.
The seals leak. Yeah. And you know, when I remodeled this place, I replaced all the windows except the sunroom area. And the gentleman was out of Charlotte. I can't remember the name of the company, but they have gone out of business. And I've been struggling to find someone that can handle that one replacement. And then I have a whole sunroom where I need to replace all those windows. And I don't know, does this gentleman still do that kind of work?
Yes, sir. You got a pencil?
Give me a second.
You ready to write?
Give me 1 second. I'm mobile right now. I have to put this in my iPhone.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely can help you. Where are you located?
I'm in Belmont, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, we know Belmont.
No problem.
Suburbia,
what's
Charlotte.
What's his name again?
His name is Bruce. That's all you need. Just call him Bruce.
All right, Bruce. And phone number.
704-608-6864. 704-608-6864.
Right.
Or woodreface.com. You can call him at Wood Reface. Just tell him you heard him on the show. Okay.
Okay, woodreface.com. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate what you do, man.
Hey,
thank
yes,
you.
Sir. Have yes, a great man. Day. Be careful out there.
Steve, right, we'll
appreciate
see.
Your call. Take care.
Rick.
And his name's Rick. Okay. All right. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate your call. All right. And thank you on short notice for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always a pleasure.
I was thinking of somebody.
Always a pleasure.
Who could talk turkey?
We didn't get into politics, Steve. That's for another
we're
day.
Not going to. I'm staying away from that. I'm done with that. I can't do it. No, you don't.
You have time for one more quick anecdote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
I had a customer that we up in my salesman Tim Bowen sold up in Advance, North Carolina, near Winston-Salem. And they were mentioning they're getting quotes on windows.
Sure.
And how high they were. They had 26 windows. Nice house. Pretty easy job.
Sure.
So they had a national company, I'm not going to say who it was, so-called Factory Direct. And yeah. they have the quote. They gave me all the paperwork. They started out for 26 windows. Their retail price was $96,000 for vinyl replacement window.
Yep.
Good quality. Decent. No better than what I sell. Window, actually, yeah. mine's better, honestly. But lifetime warranty and all that. Now, they came down because they're so-called Factory Direct. And, you know, these, I got to say, these buy one, get one free, buy two, get two free.
That's
free.
A crock.
It's all nonsense.
Crock.
It's all nonsense. It's
crock.
They just jack up. So they came down to $46,000, half price. But if they signed today, it was 40. They took another 10% off, under $44,000. I was able to, at a fair price, made a fair amount, fair profit on it. Did for about $18,500. I'm seeing the next door neighbor next week for 46 windows and two doors. $48,000 for 26 windows, and that was their so-called deal. That's what's wrong with the industry.
Oh, I know, and it goes deep too.
So people have gotten they've gotten out of the idea of replacing their windows, and it's the same thing with kitchens. We see it with kitchens too.
Oh, sure you do.
Where they've gotten ridiculously high price for inferior products. Our refacing product is much better with the solid woods, no veneers.
You know what bothers me, Bruce?
So they walk away. They say, well, we can't afford new windows.
Exactly.
We can't afford to do our kitchen.
And the quality is not there any longer. You know, I'm talking not with you. I'm talking about in general out in the industry. Yeah. The quality is depleted. And why? Now it's my turn. Because we're not teaching how to work anymore. We're not teaching craft. We're not teaching craftsmanship. We're not teaching the craft itself. We're not teaching kids to work with their hands, critical think.
You know, it's like this, I call it the college scam.
It is a scam.
Everybody should go to college.
Yeah, it's a scam. It's another cash cow.
It's crazy.
It's status quo. I want my kids educated. Why?
I have a grandson that didn't go to college. He graduated high school. By the way, I went to college for 1 year, and it was to stay out of Vietnam, to be honest with you. I was number 11 in the lottery.
Gotcha.
And if they didn't get in, I wouldn't have gotten a deferment. So I dropped out the second year. I hated school. I got a grandson who didn't want to go to college. He became a plumber. At 21-year-old, he had his own truck, was making good money as a plumber up in Ohio. I have guys that work for me. They're making near six figures that didn't even graduate high school. But they're good with their hands, and they're making a great living.
That's the key right there. We've got to be able to look. If you want your child to go to college, fine. But what's he going to do? What's he going to do? You know, that's the key thing in life. And what do you want for your children? You want to be happy.
If you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an attorney,
engineer. Can't be a true doctor going to college anymore because of the wellness and our health system in this country. It's corrupted. And stay tuned for October 12th show when Dr. Cammie Benton will be sitting in studio here with Bodie, and we're going to talk about that. It's a business, and you're a customer. And as long as you're sick, you're going to come to the doctor and spend your money. Health, well, that's another thing. Anyway, let's get back to Putt Tool School. I'm sorry, I get cranked. You know, we're about to, everything is messed up. You know, we got to raise the awareness of the opportunities and give these kids creativity back, imagination, the ability to work and resolve problems and search for resources and use their head for thinking, critical thinking, because it's lacking. Is it, Bruce?
Oh, it's shocking. It's shocking. I've been blessed. My kids are great. My grandkids, I've got 11 grandkids.
Look, there's some great kids out there, but there's a lot of kids by a lot of parents out there, you think your kid's okay? You don't know. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm seeing it face to face.
You got kids getting out of high school don't know how to read analog clocks.
Yeah, dial clock, whatever you want to call it.
It's nuts.
They don't know how to read a tape measure. And everything you do in life requires measurements. Everything. And another tool you can't live without these days, technology. You can't live without a computer. Sad but true. I mean, even a kid coming out of high school can't exist really in today's technologically advanced world without a computer. I found that out firsthand. It's a fact, but it's the way it is. I want to plead for help right here for Put Tools in Schools. We got a lot of work to do. We got to love our kids. We got to love them with all we got. And a way to love them is let them be them. Let them be learn to be. And not tell them what to be, but let them be themselves. Pretty heavy-duty statement, but pretty easy. Find out what that child loves, and we're working on that with Put Tools in Schools. We're raising awareness to the opportunities in the trades working with your hands. And there's a vast amount of opportunities that require no college degree, no college education, and you can make a great living. And most of all, you're happy. And you're purpose-filled. And you feel worthy. And you feel empowered because you can do things on your own without having to ask permission. That's what they're afraid of. When you can critical think, you can think, and then you can say, what the heck's going on? Hmm. And it's crazy. So go to puttoolsinschools.org. Please, volunteer. Sign up. Give me $5. Give me $10. Give me $100. I'll take $20,000.
Can you mention my phone number?
What? Your phone number? You mention your phone number. How do you get in touch with Bruce Aidman?
You can reach me directly on my cell phone. It's 704-608-6864. 704-608-6864 for American Wood Reface or Carefree Remodeling.
There you go.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ray.
No, thank you, Bruce, once again for coming in.
Well, woodreface.com.
Woodreface.com. And this show will be on Facebook Live. Yeah, Facebook page, About Your House Radio. So you can go back to it and refer, and all Bruce's contact information will be there as well. And there you go. And next Saturday, another great show ahead. I might have been prepared and tell you who's going to be on next Saturday. And when my phone won't work, it's always at the wrong time. Next Saturday, Nerds to Go. We're going to talk technology, computers, laptops, where you get your service work done. What's the big problem? Go spread some love. Make it a great week. We love you all. Thank you, Bruce. And we'll see you right back in here next Saturday with more About Your House. We love you, folks. Have a great week.
Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody.